Hello.
Good evening.
Good evening, sir.
What is up?
Can I just tell the listener what a fabulous co-host you are? I have put recording so many times this week that Mr. Ferretti should just be like, look, I'm looking for a new co-host. Who's out there? Who can I bring in? But no, instead, patience of a saint. I appreciate it. We're recording on a Friday night when Mr. Freddy should be out at Bootsy's nightclub getting a lap dance.
You know what your punishment is?
What?
I'm going to eat my meatballs while we record.
What? What is this? Geek brunch?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Listen, bro, I just got home.
Bill's over there eating, I don't know what the heck he's eating. Pea pods, I don't know. I hear him chomping down on oatmeal left and right. Mike's eating Twinkies and Zingers.
Listen, don't bro, get me wrong. You gotta eat.
I'm jealous of everything. Everything that I just said, I'm jealous of all of it.
You should be jealous. Why don't you eat some chicken sausage on there?
Buddy. Oh, God. Amen to that.
I'm not going to stop you.
Did I even tell you my favorite local sausage maker, Gilbert's?
Mm-hmm.
They came out with a chicken bratwurst.
Mm.
And I was like, what can this even be? Because I love me a brat. Are you kidding me? Oh, my God. In the spring, summertime, throw those on a grill? Mm. Yes. Except the problem is, you know, a lot of fat. Sure, no carbs. Yep. Tons of fat.
Mm-hmm.
I decided to try these Gilbert's bratwursts. Do they have the same texture? You know how bratwursts are a little bit more like, I don't know what how you'd... Clumpy, maybe, in your mouth?
Yeah.
Does that even make sense? Okay, sure. So chicken does not give you that texture in your mouth. But the seasoning and the flavor that you find in a bratwurst... Dude, it's in this thing, and it's like 3 grams of fat, no carbs. Oh, I am in love.
You're such a little lady.
Oh, hell yeah. Hey. I'm not putting on the quarantine 15, son.
I'm going to have to go to one of these German shops and see if they have bloodwurst, because I still can't find it.
Dang it. Come on.
Yep. But, you know, we have a lot of, well, not a lot, but there's a few German restaurants and stuff, sure. Because the BMW plant is here.
Oh, that does make sense.
Yep.
So, they should have really authentic, good stuff, too, because ain't no German going into half-ass delicatessen.
Oh, no kidding. No, we went to this one German restaurant. I wish I remember what it was called. My wife hated it because she hates delicious things made out of animals.
Oh, I thought you were going to say because they didn't offer segmented plastic plates.
Also that. Ooh, I did get it to eat everything together, though. I was very proud of myself. What did I make? What did I make? Oh, I made some tofu thing. What did I make? I don't remember. I made some sauce with, like, soy sauce and honey and some other shit. Whatever, some, like, standard Chinese sauce. And I made tofu. And then that was, like, to marinate it. And then it was, what did I make? Oh, I had, like, 3 different cauliflowers, and I roasted them. And then I served it over some coconut rice.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the divided plates out, the section plates out.
Ooh.
And I left them on the table, but I made myself one in a bowl, like a proper human being.
Sure,
and I said, here's your section plates if you want to eat like a child. But if you want to experience the correct way to taste this meal, then here's a bowl. And she chose a bowl. I was very proud.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, nothing, including the thing you're eating tonight, nothing sounds like you're using that grill.
I haven't had time, bro. No time.
What's up with that?
No time.
Come on.
No time.
Oh,
listen, if I'm getting home...
You essential workers, let me tell you.
Look, if I get home at 6 or 7, how am I going to grill? You know what I mean? It takes 15, 20 minutes to fire up the grill. You know, the whole process is like 40, 45 minutes. You know, that's why I like it.
You have the weekend. You have the weekend.
Mm. Oh, remember to tell you about this book. You're going to be proud of me. I started reading this book. It's got my name all over it.
Tell me about it.
I thought we were talking about food. What kind of show is this?
We jump all over the place. Have you not heard the Nerdy Legion podcast with Martin Ferretti and Nick Wetmore before? You haven't heard that?
No, this must be a new show. Tell me more.
We're all over the place, buddy.
What episode is this?
We, like, run, and then, like, you hear the screeching of our heelys as we, like, slam down our heels and turn and do a 180 and head the other direction. That's what we do around here.
Mm. 243 episodes. Man, we're like, this is 244. We're literally six episodes away from cancellation right now.
You better, all I know is you better get your correct supplies, wink, wink, in order in 6 weeks, Pally.
Mm. So I'm reading this book. It is called Zen and the Art of Archery.
Oh, very good.
That's what I said. It's got my name all over this book.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. It's like, it's old. It's like, when was it written? 53 is when it first came out.
Is it by the same author who did Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance?
It is not.
Okay.
Let's see here. I wish I remembered. I don't have it out here with me. Archery. Where is it? Here it is. I'll look at my order page real quick.
What inspired you to pick that up? Did you Eugen, just trip on it?
It's written by Eugen Herrigel, who is a German philosopher.
Interesting.
Yeah, I tripped up on it. I was listening to something, some speech, and the guy mentioned this book. It was some video. And the guy mentioned this book, and I was like, Zen? I like Zen. Archery? I like archery. So I picked it. Dude, it's a tiny book. It's like 60 pages.
Oh, nice.
It's very tiny. But I loved it. Remember when I started talking about archery on the show, and I mentioned, like, that Zen experience that I get from, like, pulling the boat back and, like, imagining shooting or whatever.
Breathing.
That's the exact thing he talks about.
Nice.
It was awesome. It was basically what he says is if you pick up the bow and draw and aim and then shoot, you're going to miss. Because the whole process is one moment in time. So as you're picking up the bow and drawing the arrow, you should already have your target in sight. So when you have it pulled, you just let it go.
Mm.
See what I mean? And it was awesome. This guy, so he's a German philosopher. He spent like, I don't even know, like 10 years studying Japanese flower arrangements.
Oh, wow.
And archery in Japan. It's 10 years? 7 years. 7 years in Japan. Studying flowering arrangements and archery.
That sounds like the best life.
Right? How do I do that?
You know, how can I do that for 7 years? Hell, I'll do it for 7 months. How can I do that?
Hell, just for 7 days. How do I do that?
Yeah. Just let me escape for 7 days. That'd be beautiful.
I gotta say, I've never thought about learning flower arrangements. But that seems very peaceful.
Yeah, I can imagine that. Especially like doing the like small little trees. That seems uber spiritual and just like it would slow you right down.
Happy little trees, happy little trees.
Yeah.
You could be like Bob Ross. Maybe that's what Bob Ross was like that.
Maybe everybody mocking him, maybe we're the ones. That really should be. He's leading by example over there.
I mean, look at that afro.
I know. You got to be skilled in something to be wearing that.
Man, I wish this podcast had like episode cover art, because Bob Ross's happy smiley face would be the cover art for this.
Definitely.
Mm. So yes, Zen in the Art of Archery. Fantastic. Very short read. You can read it in like while you're pooping.
Oh.
I mean, not me. It takes me like 12 poop sessions because I poop in like 3 seconds.
I know, you're in and out.
But
Mr. Efficiency.
Well, that's why I needed 2 minutes, because Reagan's taking a shower upstairs, and so Zoe went to use the bathroom in the hallway, and I had to use the bathroom, because I had just gotten home. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, are you done yet? And she's like, no. I'm going number two. Go to your bathroom. And I said, you're in my bathroom. This is my bathroom. She's like, no, go to the one in your bedroom. I said, no. I hate that toilet. I refuse to take a seat in that toilet. So I had to make her hurry up.
Is it because the one in your bedroom doesn't have a bidet?
Well, it doesn't have a bidet, but I mean, that's easily solvable. The problem with this bathroom is that the toilet is it's made for women.
What? Right?
Yeah, it's like it's a lady toilet. It's very short, and I'm a tall guy.
Okay.
It's very short, so I feel like I'm squatting, which I guess is okay, right? Because a squatty potty is a good position,
yeah, right,
to relieve yourself.
Right.
But the thing is that the toilet seat itself, my balls dangle off of it. Like, it's very small.
Off of it? What do you mean off of it?
I mean, like, I have to, like, tuck when I sit in there. Because otherwise, like, my balls are, like, sitting on the front of the toilet seat.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You see what
okay.
I mean? It's very small.
Yeah. The porcelain part is, like, way too narrow and, like,
yes,
thin.
Yeah. It's made for ladies.
Sure.
It's made for ladies. So it doesn't work for me. I don't even like peeing in that toilet because it's so short.
I can see that.
You know what I mean? My toilet, when I replaced the toilet, I even made it extra tall.
So your feet dangle over? Like moving them back and forth like a little kid?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. No, I wish I could do that. No, it's the perfect sitting position for me, that toilet.
Did you, while you're remodeling... Did you think to put yourself in a urinal? Because I think that all the time. Like, it'd be so much easier just to throw a urinal right there.
I have thought about a urinal. My wife thinks it would be weird if we had a urinal in the house.
Yeah, it might be weird, but you can put it in a bathroom where no one would even go in.
You know, now that you mention that, I need a urinal in my office.
Oh, good one.
I need that. How to make that happen?
That's almost your home office?
Yeah.
That is a flex move, because that is letting everybody know that this is a boy space. And guess who's not a boy? Everyone else in this house. That is such a flex move.
Mm-hmm.
I approve it.
I'm literally the only one. Solomon's not here anymore.
Right. That's what I'm saying. You're the only nutty male in the house.
The dogs are... female, the cat's a female.
I know, you're outnumbered.
It's okay, I don't care.
Right.
I did get a new meditation cushion, though. It was very nice.
Meditation cushion? What is that? Just a pillow?
It's not just a pillow.
Is that a body pillow, or is that weird, looks almost like a human, weird Japanese love pillow? What is it? I know you already have one of those, so
wait,
I'm guessing
this
is just the second one.
No, you need to explain this Japanese love pillow to me. I'm enthralled right now.
That's a Japanese love pillow, exactly.
Let me. I'm gonna search Japanese love. Wait, is this gonna take me to like Pornhub?
You might want to make sure your DuckDuckGo safety settings are on.
The proper term is dakimakura.
Oh.
Dakimakura. Oh, it's a body pillow. Okay. With, like, with hentai pictures on them. Cool.
Uh-huh. You meditate on that, my friend.
No. Here, I pulled it up. The proper name for this is the Filimax Zafu Buckwheat Meditation Cushion, Round Zabuton Meditation Pillow, Yoga Bolster, Floor Poof, Zippered Organic Cotton Cover Kneeling Pillow, 6 colors, and large, small sizes.
Large, small sizes. That's a sentence.
So we used to have a dog bed. This is related, I promise.
Oh boy, I don't know where this is. I don't like where this is going. Holy cow!
This is related. Let me take a bite of this. No, never mind. I'm not going to take a bite of this while I'm telling the story. So we used to have a dog bed for Solomon. And when we got rid of him, we gave the dog bed with him.
Okay? Right.
We gave it to the people. And my wife decided, well, we don't have a dog bed anymore. We should buy another dog bed for the other big dog that we have. Here's the thing. Ginger does not care for pillows. Right? She either wants to get up on the bed or sit on the couch next to me when I watch movies so she can watch movies too. she loves watching movies. I've never seen a dog like this. Like, movies are her shit.
That's hilarious.
Ginger never. Like, she faces the opposite direction of the TV.
But, completely clueless what's going on that box in front of you.
Yeah, she's just hoping she gets food from somewhere.
Sure.
She's like, ooh, if I stand right here, will just food appear out of thin air? Probably.
Or is she staring at you thinking, Dad's staring at me, not really looking me in the eyes, but he's looking sort of at me.
Sort of.
Like, he's sort of paying attention to me.
Yeah,
sort of.
Yeah,
sort of. I can convince myself of that. Dogs
are so dumb. Oh, they're so great. They're the best.
They are the best. I am convinced. Betty, not so much. Betty is for sure a dog. But I'm convinced that Ginger is like a bodhisattva, just like trapped in a dog's body.
They're just the best dumb around.
You know, we went on a walk the other day and I was like, I want this dog's life. She just like goes outside and stares at nothing for hours on end. She goes to pee, takes a poop, comes inside, eats, goes back outside, stares at nothing for hours on end.
That's why you're reading Zen and the Art of Archery. That's the life you want.
That is exactly the life I want.
Damn that dog.
So I told her, I said, we should trade. You can go to work for me, and I'll just sit at home and woo-woo at random leaves floating in air and just stare into space. So my wife bought her a dog bed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, let's go back. She said, I'm going to buy Ginger a dog bed. I said, Ginger will not use a dog bed. She said, well, I think she will like it. I said, I don't think she will use it. All right, I won't order the dog bed. 2 days later, here comes the UPS man with a dog bed. So it goes in the bedroom. Dog never even sniffed it. Like, doesn't even go near it.
He tried to throw food on top of it.
She's like, nah, I'm good. The only animal in this house that has used this giant dog bed, because, you know, it's like 4 foot by 4 foot, or 3 foot by 3 foot, is the little tiny cat. Okay? So,
the dog just wants to watch movies with you.
The dog just wants to watch movies. And so the dog was not using it. And I needed, like, something comfortable to sit on for when I meditate. Because I usually do it on the floor. Sometimes I do it laying down, depending on what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted something comfortable to sit on. So I was like, the dog doesn't use the dog bed. I'll try this. So I tried it, and it was not comfortable at all. Because it makes me, like, hunch my back.
It's a perfect cat bed, but that dog's smarter than you.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, maybe it's cool if you lay on it. But definitely not good to sit on, like if you want to be sitting up straight.
Oh, where's that picture? Why didn't the wife take that picture and post it on Facebook? I would have been all over it.
Yeah, well.
Here's my husband sitting in a dog bed. It would have been great.
Well, I mean, it doesn't look like a dog bed, right? It looks like a big cushion, but kind of flat, like a couch cushion, but flat.
But if she would have said that in a Facebook post, oh my God, I would have been all over that.
Oh well,
you would have been hearing about that, son.
I was making fun of her on Instagram though, because she bought a yoga mat, and I'll get to that later. That's a different story.
Okay, go ahead.
But I was making fun of her. So, anyways, so I said I need something more comfortable, right? And so I was watching. What was I doing? Oh, I was. I want to do like an experiment with Kundalini meditation. And so I was watching a video on Breath of Fire, and I saw this cushion that the girl had, and I was like, that looks like the perfect fucking cushion. Right? Because, like, it raises you up from the floor a little bit, so your legs are kind of in a more natural position when you're cross-legged. Because, look, I've been meditating for a while. I cannot do the lotus thing. You know what I mean? Like, my legs can't twist that way.
So
I was like, I need to find this fucking cushion. And I looked and looked and looked, and I found one that looked pretty damn close. So I ordered it. It was like $23. It's just a little black. It looks like, you know those bar stools? There's like the three legs with the round cushion on top.
Yeah.
Okay. It looks like that cushion. Except instead of like those stiff cushions that they have at bars, this is filled with buckwheat. Little buckwheat husks.
Yeah.
And it's two parts. So there's a bag, a zippered bag, where the husks are in, and then there's another zippered bag on top of it that's black. So if you want to wash it, you can just, you know, take the cover off and wash the cover, and then your cushion doesn't smell like farts.
Sure. Sounds.
Yeah, because let me tell you, you're meditating on a cushion, you will fart.
So
I got this cushion. And I looked at it, and I said, man, I hope this works. And I showed it to my wife. She's like, I don't understand. What's this magic inside here? So I opened it up so she could see the little buckwheat thing. Anyway, so I sat there and talked to her for like an hour, sitting on my cushion. And it was awesome.
Nice.
I was very concerned that sitting on husks would not be comfortable. I was incorrect, because they're very tiny.
Great.
So I got this meditation cushion, man. It is awesome. It is it's 16 inches in diameter.
Yeah.
That's the large size. The small size is 13 inches. And it's
does it look like a dog bed?
No, bro, it looks like a fucking cushion.
All right.
It looks like a bar stool cushion.
I'm picturing like a cat cushion type thing. A cat bed cushion.
Here, matter of fact, let me just send you the exact one in our Skype chat. How do you text here? Oh, here it is.
How do you even do it?
All right, I just put it in a Skype chat. And it's like 5 inches tall.
Okay.
But yeah, it's awesome. It's very comfortable. Feely Max Zafu Buckwheat Meditation Cushion, Round Zabuton Meditation Pillow, Yoga Bolster, Floor Proof, Zippered Organic Cut and Cover, Nearly Pillow, 6 colors, and large small sizes.
That looks real comfy.
Yeah, it's very nice. So I got the black one, of course.
Of course. Freddy. Come on.
It's very good. So anyway, so my wife bought a yoga mat.
Oh, nice.
Okay. Not to do yoga.
What?
Not to do yoga. So I woke up the other day, and I went to the living room, and there's two big jars of peanut butter.
Ooh.
Sitting on the ottoman.
Like Costco size peanut butter?
Yeah, big, like 3-pound jars.
Nice.
Okay. I said, what the hell is going on here? Why are there large jars of peanut butter? Man, I feel like Seinfeld right now. Why are there large jars of peanut butter on the ottoman?
What's the deal with that?
What's the deal with the peanut butter? I heard his special. Who
needs
really funny,
that much peanut butter?
Did you check out his special yet?
No, I want to.
I heard it's really good.
I heard both of the Netflix ones are pretty stellar.
Yeah?
He's good.
Yeah, he's good.
Let's give him credit. Come on.
Look, he's a multi-billionaire off of a show that did nothing.
And he certainly does not need to work, and yet he still continually works. Yeah. So, credit to him.
Well, I mean, what's he going to do? Just like spend money? That's boring.
Well, you can just tell he loves comedy. He loves the art of comedy.
That's true. So, what's the deal with these jars of peanut butter?
Yes.
And my wife says, well, I started doing this like workout during my lunch break. Right?
Nice.
Like she's sitting all day. So I said, cool. So I asked her to tell me about the workout. And like it's pretty basic, you know, like squats and jumping jacks, planks, and some like push-up thing with the peanut butter jar. I don't fucking know.
Yeah, anything's better than nothing. So
yeah, no, absolutely. I said, that's cool. She's been doing it in the living room on the rug, on the area rug. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, why don't you just get like a yoga mat? Because that's made for that. You know what I mean? Like it's a little cushioned. So you don't have to be on the hard floor. She's like, okay. So she went online and ordered a yoga mat. And so the yoga mat came in. And And I saw it, and I was like, oh, is this your yoga mat? She's like, yeah. I was like, oh, that's pretty fancy. And she's like, what's
I was going to say, is the yoga mat like 3 times more than your cushion?
Yeah, the yoga mat was like 40 bucks.
Yeah, yoga mats are pricey.
Yeah, it was like 40 bucks. So I was like, oh, this is fancy. She's like, what's fancy about it? I was like, well, it's an official Gaiam yoga mat. She's like, what's Gaiam? And I was like, you ordered a fucking yoga mat? You don't even know what it is?
No research there.
No research. Let me tell you why she ordered it. She ordered it because here's where it gets good. She ordered it because it has pretty pictures on it. Okay, there it's got go. Like different colored circles on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, you know, Gaiam is like a big name brand in the yoga industry or whatever. She's like, I had no idea. I was like, yeah. She's like, and the pictures on the yoga mat are the 7 chakras. She's like, oh, okay. So, fast forward. I'm on Instagram with my other project. You can follow me, the Alchemical Mind Com on Instagram. But so my wife friended me on Instagram. And mm-hmm. And so I friended her back, and I saw she posted a picture of her yoga mat.
Mm-hmm.
And she hashtag Gaiam yoga mat, hashtag yoga, hashtag chakras. And I said,
see,
24 hours ago, these were Chinese words to you. And now you're hashtagging.
Hey, she's listening to you. You should be proud.
I am proud. Oh, but then I said, you didn't even know what chakras were. She's like, yes, I did. It's the wheel things. And I said, yeah, that's what I told you yesterday. It's Sanskrit for wheel. Anyways. But yeah, so my wife has a yoga mat, not to do yoga, even though I said, well, now that you have a yoga mat, you should do yoga with me. Because I started doing Kriya yoga. And she's like, I just want to do my little workout. I was like, okay, in 7 years, we'll do yoga together.
There you go. See? She'll be on it in 7. Just give her 7 years.
Yeah, just 7 years. But yes.
She's slow on taking up stuff like that. So just, you know, she moves at her own pace.
It's cool. I get it. Yeah. You know what I mean? No biggie.
Hey, at least she was listening to you.
It was funny, too.
Instead of tuning you out.
Oh, she does plenty of that.
I know.
So, So I sent you those pictures. What was it, yesterday or the day before? Because I totally forgot. So a few weeks ago, we were talking about the sign my wife bought me for my bathroom,
yeah.
Which said, don't do coke in the bathroom. And I told her when I got it, I would take a picture, and I totally forgot. But I was in the bathroom, and I have to stare at it, because when I pee on my toilet, it's right in front of me. Yeah. Like when you go to the gas station, you know what I mean? It's like, don't do drugs on the sign in front of you. So I saw it. I was like, oh, I got to take a picture and send it to Nick. So I sent Nick a picture. And mm-hmm. then I thought to myself, well, self, you should also take a picture of the other signs.
Heck yeah.
So I took the pictures of the other one, whatever it was. Damn, it feels good to be a gangster and up in here. Whatever the hell it is. A few other ones. And then the one with the dog, like a large baby dog lives here, something like that.
Yep.
Well, it's a funny story. Last weekend, I woke up. I always wake up first because I'm used to getting up early.
Mm-hmm.
And so I woke up. I made myself some tea. And about an hour later, my wife woke up, and I was like, "You want me to make you some coffee?" She's like, "Sure." So I made coffee. And we have very man. I realize how this podcast has become this way now.
Oh,
all our stories, not only they're interrelated. They're interrelated. That's why we go on so many tangents. It's not true. They're not actual tangents. It's all the same story. It's all one story.
It's like circles within circles.
It is.
Zen and the Art of Archery.
We have very large coffee cups. Mm. They're like 20-ounce coffee cups.
God. Bless.
Yes. So it sucks because you know, we used to have a coffee machine, and then one day my wife decided she wanted to get a Keurig.
Sure.
The problem with that is you need to use two K-cups for one of these cups because they're so big.
You don't just use the same cup and do it twice?
Well, I do it twice. I do it once at an 8-ounce and once at a 6-ounce. My wife cannot do that. So my wife, yes. So my wife will use two cups, two K-cups. So, but sometimes she just has the one cup and uses a smaller cup because we do have smaller cups. Okay. So several years ago, my dad gave me this very nice black coffee mug that has like Jesus stuff on it. And so I'm looking around and all I see are big cups because the small cups are in the dishwasher, right? Not washed yet. I don't feel like washing them. So I just look and I was like, oh, there's a small cup. It was this little black cup. And so I grabbed it and I made her an 8-ounce cup of coffee in the Keurig. And I put cream in it and I took it to her. And then like she starts laughing. And I'm like, what are you laughing at? She's like, don't impose your Jesus stuff on me.
Wow. Holy mackerel.
No, as a joke, right? So she wasn't like actually mad. As a joke. And I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, you made my coffee in a Jesus mug. And I said, we have a Jesus mug? She's like, yes, your dad gave it to you for your birthday like 2 years ago. I don't look at the cups. You know what I mean? Oh, I just get a cup and make myself some coffee or tea.
Right.
I don't care what the cup looks like. I just need it to hold liquid.
Exactly.
And this holds liquid. And it was the only small cup. So anyway, so I was laughing. Fast forward. Oh.
Wow.
Almost lost my meatballs. Wow. Almost.
Jeez.
Almost lost them.
Oof. Oh.
Man, I caught that one in midair too.
We would have had to stop the podcast right now.
That one was good. That might have been the best meatball, the one I caught in midair. All right, so fast forward to 2 days ago when I'm taking – was it yesterday or 2 days ago? It doesn't matter. I'm taking these pictures, and I take the last one, which was the one with the dog. Maybe I should pull these up. Where's my pictures? I don't even know how to use this phone. I'm using my wife's old phone because I refuse to buy a new phone.
Right.
Because I hate every phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate this phone too, but at least it works. All right, so the signs are, the one in my bathroom is, please don't do coke in the bathroom. And then in the kitchen on the wall, my wife has, y'all gonna make me lose my mind up in here, up in here. Mm-hmm. These are all like needlework, crocheted like things, yes. By the way. Like very pretty, like grandma looking signs.
For sure.
On her desk, my wife has, damn, it feels good to be a gangster. And then on the wall by the laundry room, we have a very fragile and very sensitive big-ass dog lives here. Okay. So I take that last picture of the dog sign, and I turn around, and the front door is right there. And I look to the right of the front door, and I said, oh, here's another one that I missed taking a picture of. And I look at it, and it's not a crocheted thing. It is a very pretty – I should take a picture and send it to you anyway. A very pretty picture of the Lord's Prayer.
Ah, okay.
And so I go – my wife's in the dining room working. And so I go to my wife, and I said, 2 weeks ago, you're making fun of the Jesus cup. I turn around, and I see a giant poster of the Lord's Prayer. And she started laughing. Anyways, that was her grandma's. So she grew up seeing it in her grandma's house.
Sure. And so sentimental.
It's a sentimental thing.
Yes.
But how funny. What was it? Isn't it ironic? Don't you think? A little too ironic. that she makes fun of the Jesus cup. But she's got this giant poster of the Lord's Prayer by the front door. So ha! That's my story. See, it's all related.
It's funny.
It was all one story.
That is great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What's been up with you? I feel like I'm talking too much today.
No, I love it.
You know what the problem? The thing is,
I need to hear the update.
Look, here's the thing. Usually, I get home much earlier, right? And so by the time we start recording, I'm like, I'm kind of settled down. You know what I mean? Like I've gotten home. I had something to eat. I went to the bathroom. I might do like a quick meditation just to relax a little bit. All that was condensed in like 3 minutes.
Wow.
Because I got home at 8:57, and I texted you, I need 10 minutes so I don't eat on the podcast. And you said, your call. I said, all right, I'm going to eat on the podcast. And I had to use the bathroom, and I didn't get to meditate. It'll relax. So, yeah.
So you're a little wired.
I'm a little wired. Look, today was not a good day, Nick.
Why wasn't it a good
day? Today was not a good day. Okay.
What?
Because I received my first phone call at 7 oh goddamn clock this morning.
What?
From one of my employees complaining that he had not gotten paid.
What?
And I said,
7 in the morning.
I said, bro, I'm sleeping.
Is this person somebody you would be seeing in like 3-4 hours at work?
Yes. Yes. So, 7 o'clock in the morning. Hey, hate to bug you, but I didn't get paid this week. I said, oh, okay. Well, I'm sleeping. We'll talk about it in a couple hours.
I hate to say it. My wife is the same temperament. She does the same exact stuff. We had groceries being delivered a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And I told her the window, 9 to 1. She came into the bedroom, woke me up at 7:15. They charged our card. You know when they came? 9:15. Mm-hmm. I'm like, why are you waking me up? And I was up, of course. I think I was reading. I might have been playing a video game. I don't know. But I was up till like 3 in the morning. So it's like the last thing I wanted to do was wake up at 7:15 in the morning. Like, couldn't this just – and I know for a fact because I was very angry. And I'm like, what time did I say that they were coming? When's the window? And she knew the time. So I'm like, why are you waking – the whole point is, why are you waking me up?
Right.
You could tell me this. You could tell me they charged it at – and I don't know if it was one of those she expected the food to arrive at 7:30, or did she think that they're charged the food and then it's going to sit around for 2 hours and she wanted to complain about it. I have no idea.
Mm.
I was fast asleep. I had imaginary birds flying above my head.
Mm.
Oh, it's the worst.
That's terrible.
So I can only imagine with a coworker. Oh, are you effing kidding me?
Look, yes. And it's not like I'm not going to see you. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
Like, just hang on. Just a couple hours.
Yes.
And I
get people are living paycheck to paycheck right now. I get you're nervous about money and whatnot. But, dude, you're going to see me in 3 hours. Come on. Well, I'm not on vacation for 3 weeks.
Not just that. What do you want me to do?
Right. Like,
call payroll.
You're not payroll. Holy
call payroll, bro. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
Is this the Poopy Bandit?
It is not. The Poopy Bandit is an outstanding employee right now.
Oh, way to go.
He has redeemed his poopiness.
Oh, you should bring him in one of the rat doilies.
Yes. So, so that's how my day started.
Jesus.
Okay. Was it 7? Matter of fact, it might have even been before 7, bro. It might have been like 6:30 in the morning.
What? I mean, I would have brought, as soon as I got into the office, before even going into my office, I would have looked right at that a-hole and gave him the, like, come here finger. Like, I want to see you in my office. Come on. Right in there. Come on.
Anyways, it doesn't matter what time it was. It was super early. Way too early.
Oh, fuck.
And so that's how my day starts.
Jeez.
Then I get texts from my boss at like 7:30.
What?
And I'm like, we can't wait just like one more hour. Like, what could possibly be so pressing at 7:30
in the morning? Was he texting you that Ron didn't get paid?
No.
Ron texted me at 5:30 this morning, so I decided to wait till 7:30 to text you about it.
No. As a matter of fact, I have a Ron story because this was also a problem. No, not even that. Like, every quarter, to have like a course that we need to take on the computer.
Sure.
Okay. And so there's a new course up, and for some reason corporate wanted it done by today. Even though there's nothing anywhere saying it has to be done by today. They wanted it has to be done today. And I still had like two people that hadn't done it. So of course I have to get a text at 7:30 in the morning making sure that I know that these two people have not done it. And if it wasn't clear enough to me, I also get a picture of all my course stats with who has and has not done it. And also a third picture of all his offices with all their stats. So because I really care what anybody else is doing. Right? So so this is what I get at 7:30 in the morning. And of course I don't reply. But because I don't reply at 8 o'clock in the morning, I get another text that you get my text. And let's talk about text etiquette, Nick. Because obviously there's times when you should and should not text people, right?
Like sure.
4 in the morning, you should never text anyone unless you're like in dire danger.
Yes.
Right? Then yes, call somebody or text somebody.
Grave circumstances.
Yes. Otherwise, no. If somebody calls you or texts you and they don't reply, here's how the tree goes. They didn't reply because A, they're busy doing something else and cannot come to the phone right now. Or B, they don't want to talk to you right now. Okay, there's no other option. Is there a third option that I'm missing? Like, there's no other option. They're either busy doing something else or they're purposely ignoring you.
Yeah, you're not a big enough priority to answer right then.
Yeah, it's not that serious.
Right.
But so anyways,
I do see why your boss would send you that. I don't see it why at 7:30.
I mean,
I'm sure somebody's kicking his head, and guess what? It rolls downhill. So his people get kicked in the head, and then it rolls down, and then you kick the two people in their heads, and like, hey, you have to do this today. Get going.
Well, you know, much like our first phone call of the day, there's nothing I can do about this at 7:30 in the morning.
I prefaced it at the very beginning of explaining why people are getting kicked in the head. Because I had that happen to me at a previous job. But luckily, my boss was sort of a buddy, I guess, maybe. But he came out of a meeting and he's like, look, I just had my ass chewed out because you and somebody else didn't do this. I think it was one of those like etiquette training type things. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like the HR things. And he goes, I just got chewed out. It was literally a slide that started his like talk of the week. Mm. And it said the person's name, and then it showed their underlings. And he read line by line and called out every manager and read out their employee. So my boss was pretty much like, hey, I just got kicked in the ass. Now you're going to get kicked in the ass. Don't let it happen again.
Well, so part of the problem is,
I know you don't care, but obviously my boss was telling me that because he did care that his boss was calling him out on that.
Sure, which I get.
Yeah, you're just not wired that way, which I get.
But I'm not.
Not at 7:30 in the effing morning. That's when you send an email and then you follow that up at 10:30. Like, hey, did you get that email?
Yeah. You know, you text me at 7:30. I ignore you. Call me at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Right? Then maybe we can talk.
Maybe.
I've had my coffee or tea by then.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyways, so 8 o'clock. Did you get my message? Yes, Claude. I got your message.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, apparently that was not soon enough because at 9 o'clock, I get another one with why is this not done yet?
What?
Yes! I'm like, dude.
Is he...
Like, people are just coming in to work.
Is he talking about why you haven't got yours done? Or your employees haven't got theirs
done? Why my employees haven't gotten theirs done?
Well, they probably aren't even at the office by 9 o'clock.
Or, perchance, there's important things to be done that do not include sitting down and spending 30 minutes on an online course. I mean, it's possible that people have work to do.
Possibly.
Maybe.
Maybe.
But apparently not. Apparently the course is more important than anything else.
Not for him. That's numero uno, Pally.
So the people that were not done, I said, you need to put pencils down, go take these fucking courses, because I'm tired of hearing closed mouth. So they go and do them. No problem. Let me guess,
the poopy bandit, he already had his done.
He did have it done.
Yeah, see? Star employee.
See, all it takes is one time getting caught being a poopy bandit. And all of a sudden, right, you're like exemplary employee.
So good.
Then I have this woman. She's like, I need to leave at 1. Well, why do you need to leave at 1? We all need to stay late tonight. You know what I mean? Like, we have this shit due today. Well, I need to leave at 1 because my wife is going to blah, blah, blah. Her wife was furloughed, I guess, for COVID. And she starts work back up on Monday. And she has to go do some paperwork for something I don't fucking know. So I have to waste an hour of my time having this conversation with her about why she can't leave at 1 o'clock and she doesn't understand. What does her wife have to do with her being at work? Does she need to hold her hand while she signs paperwork? So this wastes another hour of my time. Then we have this giant customer complaint that wasn't towards me or my people, but sends my boss in a flurry. So this leads to a 2-hour conference call. That was not very pleasant to be on. Which made it even less pleasant that it had nothing to do with anybody on the conference call. You know what I mean? It was like a completely different division.
Claude just wanted to scream into the wind.
Well, the thing is, so now that COVID is done, I guess.
Done? Our numbers are going up. Are you kidding me?
Listen. The governor said it's done. It's done. The president said it's fake news.
Open the beach.
Yeah, the president said it's fake news. Okay, it's a plandemic. Okay. So now that COVID is done, they start doing all their audits and stuff again, right? Which all that was put on hold while this thing was going on, and corporate feels it necessary to start going around and touring the company again. So the company jet is apparently flying into like Charlotte or something, and they're gonna start doing like spot visits in places. And I'm like, okay, what's the big deal? Well, everyone make sure you have your paperwork in order, right? And everyone's like dressed properly and blah blah blah. Make sure your bathrooms are clean. I'm like, I'm not gonna clean my fucking bathroom. There's people that come in and clean the bathroom. You know what I mean? Like all this stuff going on. And I'm like, why are we wasting 2 hours of everybody's time when we could be doing something productive over this possible scenario where people pop in to say hello? Like, I don't know how it runs at other companies, right? So maybe it's just me. But it seems to me like you should always run your place like there's going to be people coming and visit all the time, right? Like if the CEO comes in for whatever reason, like that shouldn't impact the way that I work in any way.
No.
Right? So why is he getting frazzled? Why is he getting frazzled? Does he feel like something's wrong maybe? And yes, this is when I found out today that my boss fucking sucks. Because he literally said on this call that he doesn't trust everyone to do things properly.
What?
And that made me very upset. And let me tell you, Nicholas Wetmore, it takes a lot to get Martin Ferretti upset. And the one thing that makes me upset is me being almost 40 years old, being told that I'm not trusted to do my job correctly. Because if that's the case, then why am I in the position that I'm in? You see what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Now, even if it wasn't directed at me personally, right? Which I know it wasn't. But the point is, he's speaking to a group of people. And when you do that, it comes off as if you're talking to each individual member. So this made me highly upset, Nick. And this is part of the reason I'm still a little bit wired. So I get off this conference call, very upset. And then I have this guy that also tells me he didn't get paid. The thing is, this guy doesn't work for us anymore. I had to let him go a couple weeks ago.
Oh.
Because, do you remember how I told you everybody needs to hire?
Yeah, hire so many people.
Yes. Well, the problem is,
let them go in 4 weeks.
Yes. As a result of this process, they were like fast tracking everything. So our company does a federal background check and a state background check. And then once you get brought in, you do an I-9, right, to verify employment in the U.S. So because of everything being shut down during coronavirus, they were bypassing the I-9s. Like when they started work, they had to sign a paper saying that, like, once their I-9 came back, if it was bad, like, whatever, they'd be let go. One thing I did not know that we were not told is that they were also bypassing state background checks. They were only doing federal background checks. So I hired people.
Jiminy.
I hired this one guy. He's working out great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's clocking in every day. No problem. End of the week comes around. I go to do payroll. I can't send this guy's payroll. He's been clocking in and out all week. Can't send his payroll. So I said, dude, I don't know what's going on. On Monday, I'll call HR. I'll see if they can tell me what's happening. Until then, I need you to stay home. So I'll let you know when you can come back. He said, okay. So I talked to HR. 1 day goes by, 2 days go by, 3 days go by, hear nothing. So finally, apparently yesterday, he called to find out what the deal was. And they told him he hadn't passed the state background check. So he's like, I'm not going to worry about it. You know, I get paid tomorrow, whatever. I don't work there anymore. Well, of course, today he doesn't get paid. And so he calls me. And I have to call HR again. And after going through like 30 different people, they tell me exactly what they told him. Well, he passes federal background check, but not the state background check. And so he was removed from the system. I said, well, the man's been clocking in and out all week. So how's he going to get paid if I can't send this payroll because he's not in the system? And why would nobody just like maybe send me an email and tell me anything?
Yeah.
So now there's like this whole big thing because I have to get my boss to get in touch with employee relations, who will coordinate with HR, who will then get payroll to approve for them to like write him a check. But this whole thing's going to take like another week. You know what I mean? And this poor guy was laid off from another job, came in super excited to work. He's working out great. And granted, like, yes, he didn't pass the background check. But, like, technically that's not his fucking problem either, right? Like, if they had not decided to do this bypass, then that wouldn't have been a problem to begin with. So, by now it's like 4 o'clock, Nick. Like, it's literally like halfway through the day. and it just keeps getting better.
This was all today?
This is all today.
Oh my god, this sounds like a day from hell.
And I have like 3 or 4 other stories I can't even talk about. Just because of company policy. Yeah, like it's just one thing after another today. And I'm just like, can today just fucking end, please?
This is why he's the best partner, because he deals with all my BS, then he has a day from hell, and still jumps on the microphone. Unbelievable.
So today was not a good day, Nick. Not a good day. But tomorrow is going to be a great day. You know what I mean? I'm off of work tomorrow. We'll see what happens. Zoe wants to go to the mall tomorrow.
What?
The mall just reopened.
Oh my god. Come on.
And like, part of me is tempted to go to the mall.
Oh.
But at the same time, like, I don't even fucking like going to the mall anyway.
Right.
So, but you could get
great jerky, though.
Well, I don't know if they're open. The mall's open, but what's open at the mall? I know the food court's not open.
Oh. Well, that takes out half the fun. Hell, you can't get Sbarro? Are you kidding me?
Sbarro. Tomorrow's Saturday, too. You can go to Chick-fil-A. Anyway, so today, not good, Nick. Not good.
Yeah.
Lucky for me, I managed to just somehow not go insane on a daily basis.
Are you going to work on your bow this weekend?
No.
And also, I just need an update about the bow, and have you been approved for your vacation?
Well, I'm glad you asked. I still have not heard anything about my vacation. So if I don't hear about it by this week, I'm just going to fucking take it.
Does Calvin not trust you with your own vacation? Is that what he meant when he was talking?
I think he thinks maybe I won't vacation properly.
If we don't bring up his vacation, he just might never take a vacation. Let's try this out.
Look, and my favorite thing is, like, Nick, literally, and I've spoken with other members of middle management that are under him. It is not just me. It is everybody. Incessant text messages. And everything is like, if it doesn't get done right the second, the world will end. And that is so counter to, like, everything I believe in. You know what I mean? Like, there is almost nothing that has to be done right the second or the world will end.
Yeah, that's not the Ferretti way.
It's not the Ferretti way. This is true. This is very true.
So you're not his favorite, because I thought he was sending you all these text messages and all this BS because he really likes you. But obviously he's the same way with everybody.
And that makes me wonder, how much work could he possibly be getting done if he's sending like 30 text messages every 30 minutes?
None. The answer is none. He's either in a meeting or he's doing stuff like that. He's not working. He's not getting anything done.
Yep. See, this is just like my wife. My wife was talking about her, the lady that owns the company she works for, who's very much the same way. Like, my wife, literally, the only reason she has to leave the house is to go to the office to get the mail, to forward the mail to her.
Right. Yeah, you told me she had to do that, which is crazy.
My wife sent a letter, an email to her and her boss, and somebody else, I can't remember who, requesting a promotion and a pay increase, and all this stuff. Like, because they didn't do her year review because of Corona.
Right.
And so she's requesting all this stuff, and every day she's like, they have not replied yet. This is last Friday she sent this email, right?
Does she know when the recipient opens up the email?
Well, that's the first thing I asked her. I said, did you put a re-receipt on it?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, no. I said, well, there's your first mistake.
Yeah, fatal mistake.
Because anytime you do something where it's like CYA, you always do re-receipts.
Mm-hmm.
I learned that lesson very long time ago.
Right.
So, right. No re-receipt. I said, well, just give it a couple more days, right? Because she said that on a Friday, so like you can't expect them to read it at least until Monday, right?
Yeah.
Even though the way this woman operates, I'm sure like she read it instantly, right? She's like, "Ooh, email," right?
Yeah, she doesn't have anything else to do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I said, just give it a couple of days, right? Just wait till like Wednesday, right? Like that's probably all right, 2 or 3 days. So Tuesday, still nothing. I said, well, you know, just give it till Wednesday. Wednesday comes around, nothing. I said, well, you know, just write a follow-up email. Say, hey, did you get my email?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Maybe they didn't get it. It's possible, I guess.
Maybe.
Which she didn't do that. So Thursday, yesterday, she's like, they still haven't replied to my email. I said, well, send them an email. Ask if they read the email.
Right.
Right? Or like, text your boss.
There's right? only two answers there. Two actions. Either you do what you said, send another email, or, and this is terrible to say to your wife, or you say, well, I guess that's your answer. You didn't get an answer? That's your answer.
Right. Right. Exactly. This is just like what we talked about, text message etiquette. Either you're too busy or you don't care to reply. So finally she got a reply today. Oh, no. Last night she got a reply. Yesterday afternoon.
Did she have to reach out a second time to get this reply?
She did not.
Or it took them almost a week to reply.
Yeah, she did not. She said, if they don't send me anything by Friday,
right.
Then I'll ask her follow-up.
Well, wow. Anyways,
she replied yesterday. And part of the reply was that that she needs to do a detailed analysis of her responsibilities and duties at the place now. Because my wife feels like she's doing a lot more than she was hired to do.
Sure.
Right?
Out of scope.
Yes. Basically, she was hired as like an office assistant. Mm-hmm. And she runs the AR department. Mm. So that's why she's asking for more money and a promotion. Makes sure. perfect sense.
Yeah. Do a title change and then you pretty much have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Have to give you a pay bump.
Yep. So anyway, so she has to like do this. And dude, let me tell you, like the one thing I'm happy about right now is that I don't need to account for every second of my day. Okay.
Sure.
Let me tell you that might be coming around the corner with the way this motherfucker works.
Oh no.
But right now I don't, but I have been, and you have too, worked at places where like you have to make your own time sheet.
Oh yeah.
And you have to specify like spent 15 minutes doing this, 30 minutes doing yep. that, 45 minutes doing this.
Went by Joan's desk, talked about this.
Yeah, yeah, 5 minutes.
And it was down to 5-minute increments.
Yep. And I hate that.
Oh, yeah.
Right, because that is like the most micromanagement of micromanagement.
Mm-hmm.
And this goes back to what I said, that this is totally counter to the way I work. If I have to, like, be over my employees 24/7, making sure that they're getting stuff done, I can't get anything done.
Right.
Because all I'm doing is making sure other people are doing their work.
But a lot of people are that way.
Yes, but this is where trust comes in.
Yes.
Because since I trust my employees to do their job correctly, I don't need to worry about it. I can get my stuff done, which makes me more productive. It makes them more productive because they don't have me on their ass 24/7. It also makes it a more comfortable work environment because they know Martin's not going to be peeking around the corner making sure I'm not whatever playing Hearthstone on the computer, right? Even if I do sometimes.
Are you listening to this, Calvin? Listen to this.
But you know what I mean? Like,
for sure.
If I'm getting this stuff done, I'm getting this stuff done. Who cares?
Right.
But, of course, there are people that don't see it that way. And my boss is very much a micromanager. And my wife's boss is also very much a micromanager.
Mm.
And you can tell by their very frazzled attitude. Nick, I wish I was videotaping this conversation with my wife yesterday because her impression of this woman was precious. It should have been part of, like, the Seinfeld stand-up.
Nice.
It was like watching Kramer, right? Like the impression of her, she was doing of her boss is like how Kramer acts on Seinfeld. Nice. Just like frazzled all the time, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. And it's very annoying. It's very annoying. Especially when I'm at a place where like I'm just like a sliver of going over the edge, you know what I mean? Like the only reason I stay here is because they pay me too much money and my wife won't let me quit.
Right.
But you know, it's come to that point where I'm just like, one day someone's just going to say the wrong thing and I'm just going to be like, fuck this, I'm out.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I had this cover. This we talked about this. This is why when I came up with the I can approve my vacation thing. Because I'm just at my last straw with this place, and I'm not gonna, you know, not remain at peace as I am most of the day, worrying about a place that seems to me doesn't necessarily care about their employees the way they should.
Mm.
You see what I mean?
That old chestnut.
That old chestnut. You know, my wife's answer is always like, well, how are we going to pay the bills? Listen, stuff always works out. You know what I mean? Stuff always sure. works out, dude. Like, I started working when I was 16 years old. I have never in my life been unemployed for more than 2 weeks.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? And, like, obviously that doesn't happen all the time, right? Like, you had a spout where you were unemployed for much longer.
For sure.
But like
you just got to hang in there.
You know, you just hang in there. You can't let that get you down, right? Because then you're stuck in a rut, and how do you get out of it, right? How do you find that thing that gives you that impetus to wake up in the morning and be like, okay, I'm going to work. If you don't have that impetus to do anything whatsoever, right? Because you're just so depressed, right? So props to you, Nick, for always being so chipper in all the years I've known you.
Because
mm-hmm. I don't think you've ever let that interfere with our conversations and the fun that we have on the show.
Try not.
You know, and it doesn't mean that it doesn't bother you, right?
Oh, God, yeah.
Or like, or anybody. Like, if you
were just talked money off the, we've talked off air.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
Yeah. You've seen the other side.
It doesn't mean that it doesn't bother you, and that's fine.
Right.
But you always have to look. What does it look like over the hedge, right? What's the neighbor's yard look like?
Right.
What's it? What is it? The grass is always greener.
Sure.
That's kind of a different meaning to the to that saying, but you know, it's sort of the same thing. But man, let me tell you, like right now, I could just be like my dog, bro. You know what I mean? Hang out in the backyard. Stare at the leaves falling from the trees for heck hours yeah. on end.
Heck yeah.
Poop and pee. And I'll be
You'd
fine.
Be out camping in the woods for 2 weeks, building a bow. Come on.
Dude, that would my wife would probably divorce me.
If that didn't work, I don't know what hell yeah.
But if I quit or get fired for speaking my mind, which I also foresee happening, the first thing I would do is be like, go to the woods for a week, see you later. And my wife would be like, you should be looking for a job. I'd be like, no, I'm going to take my 1 week.
No, you need a couple weeks just to decompress and recenter yourself.
Yes, yes.
Very
yes,
beneficial. Yes.
And if you don't relate to the story, then whatever, that's fine.
That's okay.
You'll experience it someday, I promise. I think everyone goes through that.
So give him his vacation, Calvin.
He pissed me off. God, he made me so mad. Oh, and then at like, what time was that? Like 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock? He needed something. And I said, dude, well, I didn't say dude, but dude, I'm trying to go home and I need to get this done. When I'm done, I will look that up. And then like 30 minutes later, I need to have this by 6 o'clock. Okay, if I can get it to you by 6, I'll get it to you by 6. Right now, I have something I need to do. I can't get that to you. 7 o'clock. I give him an answer, and it's an answer he doesn't like. I can't believe that. Blah, blah, blah. I said, listen, this is your answer. You have a problem? Call me on Monday.
Oh, boy.
And he did not reply to that. So I expect him to be in my office on Monday so we can have a conversation.
Oh, boy. Jeez. I think a better response would have been, we could talk about it after my 2-week vacation that I'm taking starting Monday.
Well, and you know, the thing too is, there's things that I asked for that I'm still waiting answers for. I mean, the vacation is whatever. You know what I mean? Whatever. I have until June or July to take that anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Well, that's right around the corner, kid.
Yeah, I guess it is. But yeah, it's still a couple months. But like, there's things that I asked for that I'm still waiting to hear back on. Like, I need certain supplies. And I went to order them the other day. And, like, they have limits on all the supplies now.
Oh, boy.
And I'm like, hey, I was trying to order this one item. The limit's 3. I usually order 10 per week. How am I supposed to get through a week if I only have a third of the supply I normally have? I'm going to run out, like, the day that I get the stuff. I'll find out. I'm still waiting. This is 3 weeks ago.
Jeez.
You know, we talked about the online classes thing. I have 4 employees who show 2 of them in progress. They've been completed. I have the certificates of completion. And he still asks me all the time, when are these people going to be 100%? And I always reply, listen, every time you ask me, I tell you they're done. Every time you ask me, I send you the certificate of completion, and you tell me you're going to get in touch with HR so they mark and complete. And I'm still waiting. And some of these people are like months and months, Nick.
Jeez.
You see what I mean? Like, if things that you ask of me have to be done right the second, then I should expect the same from my superior.
Wow.
I bet you didn't think we'd have this conversation after talking about butt cushions.
Well, I gotta say, I had a very similar thing happen, and I think I told you this, that I had a boss come up to me, and he said, when are you going to complete this? And I pointed behind me because I had the certificate of completion, and he looked at it, walked away, came back an hour later, and he was like, look, can you just take that again? My boss will not accept that it's been done, even though it says it isn't in the system. He needs a system to say it's done. He doesn't care about your certificate. So I had to sit there for another hour and a half and, like, go through it again.
Well, see, this is why I always get into print the certificates.
But I hate to say it, unlike you, who's a boss, I wasn't a boss. And I was just like, well, if my boss is telling me to waste the hour and a half, I can sit there and do whatever for an hour and a half and just click through this thing again. All right, sure. I can do that.
Sure. But the thing is, I shouldn't.
I should have a boss who would stick up for me and be like, no, he's not doing that again. This is crazy.
You have a certificate of completion.
Right.
Right. Like, are you going to waste the time to make a certificate of completion?
That's what I asked him, and he just said, such and you know, so and so wants it to say complete in the system, so just go back and do it. I know it's going to take more time. Well, but listen, go back and do it.
I've been with this company for 9 years.
That was a hill he wasn't willing to die on, and me being a peon, he could care less. So it's sure. Like, waste your time. Go ahead.
Well, I've been with this company for 9 years, and I've never had this problem. If for some reason there's an issue, and they didn't get the certificate, they retake it, complete it again. Print a certificate. I send the certificate in. Within 24 hours, it shows completed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why this takes months now. Maybe it's because he's texting 30 people every 30 minutes.
Doesn't sound like Calvin trusts you. As I push you over the edge, and then the next time we talk, you'll be like, yeah, I quit. Yeah, I couldn't handle it. I was thinking about it. I couldn't handle it.
Well, and you know, he keeps talking on the I was talking about the corporate visits. He keeps talking about how his boss is going to make an appearance soon. And I'm like, good, have her show up to me. You know, yeah. Like they never come to me because I'm very plain spoken, Nick. You know, if you ask me a question,
I'll happily tell her what real street is. I'll tell her there.
You ask me how things are going. Trust me, I will tell you. And most of my bosses have never liked that. And as a result, I very rarely get any visits.
Yeah, of course.
But
that works in your favor too.
Sure.
Why do you want to talk to the suits?
To an extent. Right? Because I do want to talk to the suits because I see things that are obviously broken. And I'm sure that every time they go visit somewhere, they just like lick their ball sack.
Of course.
Oh, I love working for this company. It's so great.
Yeah, you guys are doing a great job. Talk about innovation. Oh,
fantastic job.
And it's so efficient, too. We're saving money left and right now.
Well, you know, and the stock is doing fantastic. It's always fucking up. Every single quarter it goes up and up and up.
See? We're all doing great, guys.
Well, guess what? We're not all doing great, bro.
What? But the stock. Look at the stock. Come on.
So he keeps talking about his boss coming in. I'm like, oh, God, please just bring her here. Every time. I was expecting her like a month and a half ago. She never showed up. I was so mad.
Calvin, could I take her out to lunch when she comes? Because I have something to tell her.
Yeah, well. He's like, make sure you're ready. We'll be there tomorrow. There was a few people coming in from out of town.
Right.
And she was one of them. And I'm like, hell yeah. I was like, what time are you going to be here? It's like 1 o'clock. So I got all my stuff done by 1 o'clock. I was just cruising the rest of the afternoon. 4 o'clock comes around. I don't hear anything. And I'm talking to one of my employees. I'm like, they're like, where's corporate at? And I'm like, they're supposed to be here at 1 o'clock. I don't know. And just when that happens, I get a text. We're not coming.
Of course.
And I'm like, what do you mean you're not coming? Oh, we're not coming. They decided to go to Charlotte to do something.
We decided to go to a steakhouse for an early dinner.
I'm like, bro, I was expecting them to come. They're like, he's like, well, I'll be there tomorrow. I don't want you here. I want them here.
Anyways. You don't need to talk to them.
I do need to talk to them. They don't need to talk to me.
No. Calvin might not trust you, but he's no dumb bunny.
Yep. Yeah, when
he's going to keep them far away.
When that visit was coming up, we had a conference call, and he's like, make sure you guys just answer exactly the question that they ask you. Don't like bring in any other things. Just answer the question.
And I'm like, here's the script that I want everyone to follow. Just follow the script. Okay, thank you.
And I'm like, bro, you forgot Martin's on this conference call. This is not the way I operate. This is not how I operate.
Are you talking about yourself in third person? That would be great. Or second person, I should say.
Oh, man, I tell you what. Always something, buddy. Always something.
It's great.
Who's texting me at 9:30?
Is that Calvin? Tell him I said hi.
No.
Is it the Poopy Bandit?
It is not. Listen, it's Friday night. Ask me Monday. See, you see what I mean? Like,
what?
What are you fucking children? Who is it? It's somebody from work asking a question about for next week.
Well,
ask me on Monday. It's okay.
You know, we're a connected internet online company. That's 24/7, pal.
Yeah, that was always my favorite. Dude, it's always my favorite because management's supposed to work 48 hours.
Sure. Yeah.
Except when you look at the paycheck, it's based on a 40-hour week. So I've always gotten away with working between 40 and 48. Uh-huh. And nobody has ever said anything to me. Because when they're like, the expectation is you work 48 hours. And I always say, if you look at my pay stub, my paycheck is based on a 40-hour work week. If you can show me somewhere where it says I have to work 48, then I will work 48. Nobody ever showed me that. Like 2 years ago, because of this, they changed the job description to include the 48-hour work week.
Uh-oh.
Except I still – I mean, obviously there's weeks where I work 70, 80 hours a week, right? You know that.
We got you, Martin Ferretti.
You know that. I have no problem with that. But they put this in there. So I was like, 40 hours. And they show me, here's the paperwork. It says job description, 48 hours a week. And I always say, go look on my hire packet. The paperwork that I signed said 40 hours. So I will continue to work my 40 hours. If you show me paperwork that says otherwise with my signature on it, I'll be more than happy.
And that's sort of crazy because it's like, does everyone then in your position, sure, they work 48 hours, but does everyone then also work the 80 hours that you put in?
Oh, yeah.
Do they?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, jeez. Man, you guys are nose to the grindstone.
Oh, yeah. And I'll tell you, if I got paid what they get paid, I wouldn't do it.
Wow, crazy.
I get paid, I'm the highest paid middle manager. And I make like about almost 15 grand more than the next highest paid person.
Hmm.
Gotcha. So, you know, I try not to complain.
Well, push comes to shove.
But
just like I always tell my wife, it's like anyone can give you a raise and like let me double your salary. It's just human nature after 2-3 months to bitch about how low paid you are.
It just doesn't matter.
Human nature. Yeah.
Well, you know me, like I don't give two shits about the money anyway.
Right.
As long as my wife's happy that the bills are getting paid, I don't give a shit.
Correct.
But the thing is, like, in our with our job, like we're salary non-exempt. So technically, what that means is that if they need me to work, what is it? Let me do this math real quick. I did it one time, and I was like, that's ridiculous. Okay. Nope, that's not it. 23. So by federal law, I can work up to 167 hours a week.
Okay? Wow.
Because I'm salary non-exempt, by federal law, I'm only required to take 1 hour break per week. So upper management always makes sure we understand that we are on call 24/7.
Wow.
But crazy. But at the same time, they always try to sell you on the importance of a balanced schedule, right? Balancing personal family time and work-life
balance.
Yes.
Yes.
Until you actually are in the trenches, and they're like, you can go home when you're done.
Yeah. Hey, about that work-life balance, I want to take advantage of it this weekend. Oh, hold on.
This weekend? That's tough. That's tough. I think people hate it when we talk about work.
I love it.
I do too. It's very therapeutic.
Yeah. It's like you're on a couch, a comfy couch. A
very comfy couch.
Buckwheat.
Buckwheat husks. Yeah.
There you go. Buckwheat husk yoga pillow.
Yeah. Man, that thing's so comfortable. And it sounds awesome. You can like jiggle it and it goes like, whoosh, whoosh. Oh, matter of fact, I have it in here, don't I? Yep. Here it is. Can you hear this? Probably not.
No, I can. Yeah, for sure. Sounds like a beanbag.
Yeah, it sounds like a beanbag. It's very comfy. It's the best.
That's great. I like that the liner can be washed. That's nice too.
Well, you got to do that.
Well, yeah, of course.
Think I'm going to get up and go to the bathroom and I'm meditating? No, bro.
No, you just poop your pants right there and then wash the liner.
Yeah, I'll poop my pants.
Yeah, why not?
If you're an advanced enough meditator, it doesn't matter if you poop your pants.
There you go.
It's all an illusion.
You meditate the rash right off your butt. Episode title.
Oh.
It's a good one. That's a good one.
What was it? Meditate the rash right off what?
Meditate the rash right off your butt.
Yeah, there you go. All right, I had to save that before I forget it.
Oh, golly.
Adult butt rash causes ineffective natural treatments. Hmm.
Oh, my.
I bet one of them is wash your butt.
Yeah, take care of that.
Take care of that butt. Oh, anyways.
Did you ever get pink eye?
No.
When I found out how you get pink eye, I was like, yeah, that's why I've never got pink eye. I don't wipe my eyes with poopy fingers. Good God.
Yep. Yeah, I made fun of my wife one time because she got pink eye. And I was like, why are you touching your poopy fingers on your face? She's like, I wash my hands all the time. I don't understand. Like, I don't know. I never get pink eye.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah, no, I've never had pink eye. What's the other one that everyone gets? The mono.
Yeah, never got that either.
Never had mono. What's the one that's like mono? Strep.
Yeah, never got that either.
Never got strep. We were just talking about poison ivy. My wife gets... Do you get poison ivy bad?
I have only gotten poison ivy once, and I've never gotten, what is it, poison oak?
Poison oak, yeah.
Yeah, never got that.
So my wife is like highly allergic, man. When spring comes around, you know, I get the plants and stuff, but the dogs like to go into the bushes and stuff.
Yeah,
And it grows under the bushes, and I can't like really get under that. So they'll bring it in, and she's like rubbing the dogs and gets the poison ivy all over herself. And I always make fun of her because, like, I don't fucking get it. Like, I'll lay with Ginger, like, I'll hug the shit out of her, use her as a body pillow, my hentai body pillow.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't even get, like, a little rash, no itching, nothing. And she gets within, like, a foot of her, and she just, like, breaks out.
Wow.
My dad sent us a message a couple days ago. His wife got poison ivy. And dude, it looked like she had leprosy.
Ooh.
Or like the plague. Like she had freaking boils on her arm.
Oh, my.
Like this freaking giant hole. I'm like, what the hell happened to her? He's like, poison ivy.
Wow. Said,
man, that is some serious poison ivy. Like I've never seen anybody that bad.
Crazy.
And I was talking to my wife about it. And I was like, I found somebody that gets it worse than you. And I showed her the picture. She's like, holy shit. She needs a steroid shot.
Yeah, I see some people, like, when they get rashes, it looks like boils.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, thank God that ain't me.
Yeah.
Like, pus oozing. Like, ooh, good golly.
So, yeah, I don't get anything, man. Like, I've never had chicken pox.
I did when I was 8 months old.
Oh, that young? Wow.
Yeah, there's pictures of me with, like, hand-knitted booties for my hands.
Oh, I want to see that picture.
I know. It's an adorable one. And I have a tuft of blonde hair, which is like, man, why'd I lose that blonde hair? But no, it's a cute picture. My mom always talks about, we had to put it on because the doctor was so afraid you would be like scratching yourself.
Mm.
So I guess they just, you know, took care of the hands, which makes sense.
So my dad didn't have chicken pox growing up,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
but he got it when he was, I think it was right before I was born. So he would have been like 26, 27.
Mm.
What's the adult chicken pox called?
Oh, good God.
It's got a different name.
Yeah.
Let me see here. Adult chicken pox. I can't find it. It doesn't fucking matter. So he got it as an adult and like he almost died.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shingles. There you go.
Oh yeah. My wife got shingles, 4 years ago.
Really? Has she had chicken pox before?
I don't believe so.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So apparently
I think once you get chicken pox, you can't get shingles. I thought that was like,
If you had chicken pox, you can't get shingles, but like shingles is much worse, right? Cause chicken pox, it sucks. But shingles is bad. Like people can die from shingles. And my dad was like in bed for like 3 weeks.
Like, yeah, my wife was that way too. Where did it hit him? Cause usually it's like concentrated.
I don't know. Like I said, this was before I was born.
She got it on like her jaw, like inside, oh, Jesus, like where the teeth are.
Ew.
And she even went to a dentist, and the dentist is like, we should just yank out all your teeth.
Shut up.
Like towards the back, like her thinking that it was like a wisdom tooth or something. Ew. And then she went to another doc, she went to one doctor, they misdiagnosed, went to the dentist because she thought, oh, it could be like an ingrown tooth or something. Misdiagnosed. And then she went to a third person. They're like, yeah, you have shingles.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Oh, but I did not know this.
My aunt even got it. It was centralized like on her scalp.
Mm.
Like, oh my God, I couldn't even imagine having that tremendous pain like right on the top of your scalp.
So shingles is a type of herpes.
Oh, interesting. Mm.
Did not know that. Learned something new. Thanks, Wikipedia. Hey. So he got it much older. And like my mom said, like he was about to die.
Mm-hmm.
It was bad. So when I was growing up, by like I want to say like seventh grade, I hadn't gotten it. And so every time I come home, be like, oh yeah, such and such was out of school because he's got chickenpox. My mom be like, all right, pack your bag, you're gonna go over to their house. And I'm like, why? He's like, you haven't had chicken pox. So you need to go over there and sleep over and try to catch it. Never caught it. My brothers both got it. They made me sleep in the bed with them. Never got it.
Jeez.
So I've never had chicken pox. Like, trust me, my parents tried. They tried so hard.
Well, now you can get that shot for shingles.
Can you?
Oh, yeah.
You
can get it anywhere. Like even like CVS and Walgreens will give you that shot.
Really?
I think it's covered by any insurance. Yeah, and I think it's good for like 10 years or something.
I'm not getting the shot. They might try to microchip me.
You might want to get that shot. You go talk to your father and let Nelson try to edumacate you on how painful that is.
Nah, I'm good.
Oh, come on.
I'm good. So yeah, I never had that. My wife. My sister. man, I haven't seen that movie since it came out. How long ago
you
was that? Like 10 years?
Yeah, probably not.
I own it on DVD.
Oh, brother.
Yeah, I love that movie. When that movie came out, I watched it like 10 times and then I quit watching it.
I like Sacha Baron Cohen.
I'll still quote it though. My wife had like flesh eating bacteria on her face.
Ooh.
And it's like a common bacteria.
Wow.
Like something that lives in your mouth all the time.
Wow.
What's it called? When I find it, necrotizing fasciitis. Yep.
Oof.
Strep. Oh, staph. That's it. Staph.
Oh, okay.
Staph causes, it can like mutate into flesh eating bacteria. And so one day she woke up and she had a little rash on her cheek. And I was like, what's with the rash on your cheek? She's like, I don't know. I was like, all right. Well, she comes home and like, it's like getting darker. And I'm like, you need to get that checked out. She's like, all right, I'll make an appointment. So she made an appointment. It was like 2 days out. By the time she goes to the doctor, like, it's like on both cheeks.
Wow.
And she's got like a little indentation on one cheek. And I'm like, that might be like flesh-eating bacteria.
Wow.
And sure enough, they did a biopsy, and that's exactly what it was. And they gave her antibacterials and stuff and got rid of it before it got really bad. But yeah, she's got like, I mean, they're tiny, but she's got like a few craters on each of her cheeks.
Wow.
From the MRSA.
Jiminy Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Yep, staph. That shit's all over you.
Crazy.
It lives on your body 24/7, but normally it's benign. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Hey, can I change gears real quick?
Bro, it's your show.
No. It's your show. You're the one working hard. I wanted to ask my number one Batman fan a question.
Yes, I like Batman.
Oh, yes, you do. You know he's one of my spotlight characters for the year. Wanted to ask you, because I just bought this on a Comixology sale. Tom King Batman.
Ugh.
Come on, just can you at least let me talk here? Yep. I mean, my God.
I'm listening. I'm listening.
This episode. I barely said a word, and then I get a mool. Rude. Oh, man. I'm so derailed right now.
Tom King Batman, hooray!
You've been listening to the Nerdy Legion podcast with Martin Ferretti. And
Tom King.
Okay.
Right, continue.
Let me spiel. I have read the first three trades of his run.
It took you, what, 5 minutes?
I've read the first three trades of his run way back in the day.
Yep.
So now I have the deluxe edition.
Oh.
Ones. Which combine up, I'm sure you don't know because you don't care about Tom King, obviously, with all the huffing and puffing.
Correct.
But the deluxe editions encompass two trades per volume.
Hmm.
So I just this week, I picked up book four. So that means I'm eight trades in. I'm all the way up to book four goes up to issue 57.
Okay.
So this is well past what I originally read.
Mm-hmm.
My question to you is up to 57, which encompasses the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the wedding, Mr. Freeze.
The quote-unquote wedding, yes.
Yeah, that thing. Is that a decent enough stopping point? Like, I know where his end point is. Mm-hmm. Tom King, where his end point is. I've been waiting to reread the entire thing up to this point, up to book four. And I'm like, do I binge right now and read it all? Or do I just be patient, wait another, whatever it is, 8 months for them to put out book five and six, probably? My guess is that's how long it'll be. Because, like, book four is 45 to 57. Mm-hmm. As you well know, DC trades are pretty slim pickings, page-wise.
Mm-hmm.
So my guess is it'll be at least two more books, like four more graphic novels worth of content before all of the Tom King run. I know leading up to the wedding, like everything sort of like comes to a head there. But do I need to wait till the end of the run to be like, okay, now I see the whole scope of the story? Because unlike, what is it? Warren Ellis's. What's the thing that he did just recently for DC? Wildstorm. The Wildstorm. Unlike that, which you know I've told you many times, whenever a new trade comes out, I start back from the beginning and happily will reread that thing every time leading up to the next trade.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to do that with this run. Because I know that's, what, 90 issues? Something like that. The Tom King.
Yeah, 91, I guess.
There you go. But, like, I don't want to read up to 57 and then wait 8 months for the next two books to arrive and be like, now I have to go back and reread the whole thing. Not out of sheer – I would do it out of sheer joy if I found sheer joy. But I don't want to feel like, did I lose the tangents of what's in his run for everything to, like, click? Mm. And for, like, oh, now I see all these strings that he had since the second trade. All these strings. Now they're all tied into bows. Now it all makes sense. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's what I want to know. Should I wait 8 months? Because I have plenty of other Batman to read. Don't get me wrong. But I thought, well, since you've read the entire run, would that serve me better? Because you know me. What's the last thing I want to do after reading a comic? Go to Wikipedia and like, oh, let me catch myself up before reading the next trade. Or, oh, that just, God, that left me wondering what the hell happened previously that I forgot, so let me go to Wikipedia and read about it.
So, okay, so I will answer your question. Before I do that, I do have another question.
Sure.
Oh, never mind. I just answered my own question because I just found it.
Oh.
What does this collect? Okay. So, in the deluxe editions, they're up to volume 4. Volume 5 comes out in July.
Okay.
And that goes 58 through 63, 66 to 69, Batman Annual, and Batman Secret Files.
So 60.
What's that?
So 69.
Yes.
God, so there could be 3 deluxes if they're going that slow.
I don't know where 64 and 65 are, but yes, up to 69.
Mother of.
So let me recommend.
Sure.
With DC, unless you're reading something older where it's like a spotlight on a creator, for example, to avoid those, because generally you get like a better reading order just in trade, not in the deluxe editions.
Yes.
So on the deluxe editions, they're up to volume 12, which goes up to issue 75 to 79.
Oh my God. They haven't even collected in regular trades his last arc?
Well, you know, I'm sure that had to do with coronavirus.
Well, okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. So whatever. Can't fault them for that. But sure. I only see up to volume 12.
Can I give you my reasoning for the deluxe?
Why don't I own this? Okay. Martin bought something. Hooray.
Welcome yes. Back. Okay, welcome back.
I don't know why I owned this in trade, but I didn't have a omnibus. So I just got the Batman by Grant Morrison omnibus.
Nice.
All right. So continue.
The only reason I got the deluxes is it was probably 2 years ago. The first one came out. I was waiting for a DC sale, and as you well know, we've been trained that come December, they're going to do an entire DC catalog sale, best sale of the year in December.
Sure.
So the DC, and this was before somebody wised up and figured out, hey, this collects two trades. Why are we offering this for $4.99, the same price as trade number one?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I grabbed the deluxe, because I got two trades worth for the same price as one trade.
Gotcha.
So it made sense, but you're right. It's killing me to wait for these, because at this point I don't want to pick up trade number 9.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of. I guess that's where the OCD collector in me. Once you start down that deluxe thing, you sort of want to have all of them be deluxe.
I gotcha.
Which stinks.
So I will say, I would have recommended you should have had you asked me before you purchased so many, I would have just told you to get the trades. But I think the point that you are at now is when the story actually starts getting halfway decent.
Okay.
I think the first arc is pretty good.
Yeah, after I like the first arc.
After that, it's pretty terrible. Until issue 50. 50 was pretty good. I remember really liking like the first couple issues after 50. And then, you know, it's up and down again. But I don't think the lows after 50 are as bad as the lows before 50 or the highs before 50.
Gotcha.
Oh, hey. Ooh, had a sneeze.
Ooh.
Mm. Ooh. Let me take a sip of this tea here. Yowza. Gotcha.
Okay, so your recommendation would be just wait till it's done.
Yeah, I mean, if you're dead set on continuing the deluxes, then just keep getting the deluxes.
Right.
But I think you are at the point now where the story actually does get good.
And I don't want to wait. At this point, like all of a sudden, if 57 is just an unbelievable kick-ass issue, I want to move on. I want to read the next one, for God's sakes. I don't want to wait.
Well, you'll be waiting until July.
Yeah. Yeah, that sucks. So best not to even start it. I can go back and read. Shoot, I have tons of Batman waiting for me. So no worries there.
Yeah, just put it on a schedule
yeah.
And see. I'm trying to think 57. I wonder what a good stopping. It's been a while since I read that. So, Tom King, I'm trying to figure out what that issue is, so I can tell you if that would be a good stopping point anyway, where you could start it and not worry too much. You know what I mean?
Got
the KG Beast ones. Yes, you have to read that.
Wow.
Yeah, go ahead and do that. I think you'll be fine.
Okay.
Because the thing about his run is, yes, the whole story ties in together. But I think the way he paced it, you don't need to read it all. Like, if you're reading it in trade, you don't need to just go back to back to back to back.
Okay. So there are definite arcs and, like, stopping points.
Yeah. Because there's, like, in-between stuff, right? So, like, you have some stuff focusing on, like, Batman and Catwoman. And the next one, you'll have stuff focusing on Bane. And then, well, spoiler, so I can't talk about that.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So it does, okay. It does break down into arcs. That arc, I think, is actually really good.
Okay.
And I love KG Beast. He's top three.
Yeah, he's been fun in a lot of the retro issues I've been reading, so.
Mm-hmm.
Except
yes.
I can't do that because, as my tweet stated last night to you and Rob and Ronnie and Aaron, buddy, I started Volume 3 of Crisis on Infinite Earths Companion Deluxe. Let me tell you, the first issue, Amethyst. Never read it. Read 3 issues from New 52 and loved them, but never read the original.
Mm-hmm.
This one, and it's a tie-in to Crisis. Don't get me wrong; it does. It has Crisis tentacles in it, but it's pretty much a back origin story that Dr. Fate is telling Amethyst about her world and what actually happened in her world. Because when Crisis started, they wanted to bring her into standard DC.
Sure.
So they told Keith Giffen, hey, you got to update this character. You got to change the origins. You have to cookie cutter this into what we need it to be.
Mm-hmm.
So Dr. Fate is telling her origin. That's completely different than anything she's ever done.
Hmm.
And it just that alone, I'm like, I have to go back and read Amethyst. What the hell? Like, I love this. So I'm so excited, and there's so much Superman in Volume 3. There's just so many good, like, issues in it. It's like 530 pages. Oh! Mm. Oh! Cannot wait.
I wonder if I should put some Dr. Fate on my list. I haven't read a whole lot, but the stuff that I read, I really liked.
Same here. Yeah.
Maybe I should do that.
I love the Sean McManus run.
Sean McManus. Let's look this up right now.
Yeah,
listeners, if you have suggestions on great Dr. Fate stories, let us know at Nick Wetmore at GeekFan. Dr. Fate. Let's look this up.
Send it to both of us. I'm dying to read some of it.
Okay, this is the run that I read, the DeMatteis.
Oh, yeah. Who drew it?
Keith Giffen.
Okay. Ooh, that's nice. Yeah. I thought it was Sean Martin Burrow.
Nope.
Okay.
So this one I have read.
I read. Didn't Jeff Johns, like, somebody modern wrote him?
Yeah, that was a New 52 series, right?
Yeah. I read that. That was really good, too.
Let's see. 2016. Paul Levitz.
Should we be? That should be my spotlight character next year. Let's do it.
I don't want to wait till next year.
Did you see your Daredevil sale, considering that's your spotlighted character?
No, I missed that.
It's going on right now.
Why am I not logged in? What's happening right now?
You can get all 3 of the Bendis Alex Maleev omnibuses for, I don't know, $8, $9 each.
Ah, see, but I've been buying all the Daredevil stuff in physical trade.
Oh, those omnibuses are really nice. I used to own them, and then I sold them for a lot of money.
Sales. Let's see how terrible Comixology's sales page is.
Daredevil.
Oh, Conan sale. I want to see Conan.
Heck yeah.
Is it just... Okay, there it is. Massive Man Without Fear sale.
Oh. I might have to get in. Items. I might have to get in on some of the Charles Soule.
Dude, the Soule run is really, really good.
That's what I hear.
Yeah, I really like that a lot.
I think I read the first three trades, and I think Six Fingers threw me off. Or Nine Fingers, whatever his name was.
Oh, that guy. Oh, I like that guy.
Yeah, that's just sort of...
That's when he gets his sidekick. What's the sidekick's name?
I don't recall.
Ah, shit. Yes, that run was really good.
Yeah, I might have to buy some.
That whole thing was so weird. With the fingers, because like, even all his henchmen had like weird finger counts.
Yeah, I might and see.
It was like, depending on the hierarchies, how many fingers they had.
Why can't there be deluxe edition or omnibus of that run?
Daredevil, finger villain. Let's do that. What is his name?
Isn't it Ten Fingers or something?
See, I want to say Ten Fingers, but the thing about that is...
That's a lot of fingers on one hand.
Well, I love Ten-Eyed Man, and I don't want to confuse it with Ten Fingers. It is Ten Fingers. You were right. Yep, you were right. Ten Fingers. The ending was a little anticlimactic to that arc. But I really liked it.
Ten-finger arc or the Soule run?
The Ten-finger arc.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. I mean, it was the way it ended was cool. But I was like, I wish there was a little more.
I might have to reread this now, damn it.
Yeah, it's good. You should read it. It's the first arc of Charles Soule's run.
Yeah, I think I read the first three trades of his run.
Mm-hmm.
Up until the costume change, where he went back to black.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's where I stopped because the library at that point, that was the last one they had.
That's it. His generals are the eights because they have eight fingers on each hand.
There you go.
And he's ten fingers. So he's got ten fingers on each hand. Blind Spot is a sidekick.
Ah, there you go.
So you get his origin story because Blind Spot's mother is Ten Fingers' concubine.
Oh, sheesh.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if I ever finished Wade and Samnee's Daredevil run.
That's what... wait, did I start that? Onto the spreadsheet!
Uh-oh.
I don't think I did, but... where's my spreadsheet? Calc.
I think that's the run, because I remember Wade... His first run with Paulo Rivera and Marcos Martin, that was in New York. And I could swear the Samnee run was when Daredevil went to, what, San Francisco?
Yes.
For that year and a half?
Okay, so I read the first volume of Mark Waid's.
Which one? The Paulo Rivera?
The Rivera, yes.
Oh, that's so good.
Yep.
With the Mole Men? Woo, yep. Lord.
Yep.
That's a good run.
That was a good one.
But the one that he's out in California where he's doing, somebody's doing an autobiography on Daredevil.
So, all right. So that's not on my reading list. Oh, there it is. Wait, is that it? Oh, I haven't finished that one. See, that's what happened. I knew that there was something. I knew that there was something.
Well, what was it?
I started that trade in January. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not finished it. And as you're speaking, what you're talking about right now, as you're speaking, I remembered why I did not finish it. It's because it's the one where he goes to fucking San Francisco. And I hated it.
Yeah. And you know how big of a Wade fan I am. You are. That's the one Wade that I'm like,
Mm-mm-mm. All right. That's
what even threw me off when both of them went over to Captain America.
Mm.
But luckily, everyone did a 180 and was like, oh my God, it's the best thing. And it was great. So.
Oh man, the Daredevil by Chip Zdarsky trades are only $2.50.
There you go.
That's a new run. Right?
Yeah, that's brand new. Yeah.
Well, shit. All right, I need to get that.
They have all the big boys. The Brubaker runs are there. There's Rucka issues in there. I know. The Bendis ones with Maliv. Ooh, those are pretty.
So I'm not going to get the Bendis ones on the sale because I do own them physically.
Good, good.
Man, but these chip trades for $250, you can't beat that.
I agree. And those are good, good issues. I have read that.
Man,
it is believe the hype on that.
Yeah?
Yeah. Chip Zdarsky's Daredevil is pretty damn good.
I need to go like older stuff though. Like I still didn't read the Kevin Smith one yet.
No.
What's the one? And Nascenti? That's the one that I wanted to read next.
Yeah, that's a good one.
But I was trying to get through the Mark Waid stuff first until goddamn San Francisco.
No, you don't need to read that.
Bro.
Read the other Waid stuff or any of these Epic collections.
So can I just skip that trade?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Because I remember like Charles Soule mentioned some of that stuff, the San Francisco stuff in his
sure.
Book. So I don't want to like skip it and then miss something. You know what I mean?
Come on. Ooh, Foggy's upset at him. That's what they'll say.
What is in the Daredevil Epic collection?
There's some good ones.
This tells me nothing. Interesting. McDaniel art, huh? I can tell.
I know there's some Romita Jr. You can just avoid those.
It'll be fine. I'm so over it. Romita Jr., he seems like a great guy.
I might have to pick up the out of the Daredevil Epic. Purgatory and Paradise, and Root of Evil. I think both of those look awfully good.
Man, these masterworks are $5, dude.
Yeah. But just to let you know, the Epic Collections will have a lot more issues.
Yeah.
Then if you're looking at one masterwork, try to find it in an Epic Collection. You'll almost get double the page count for like $2 more.
Chris Claremont did Daredevil? What is happening?
Why am I not getting these?
Why have I not read this? Dude, Claremont, Jim Shooter, Marv Wolfman, Jerry Conway. I'm disappointed in everyone that listens to the show and all of my friends.
Oh, shame on you all.
I've wasted 38 years of my life not knowing this. I could have been reading this years ago.
Shame on you.
Shame on all of you. I'm going to get these masterworks though. Wait, you said the Epics are better though, right?
They just have more page count for like $2 extra.
Okay.
That's why I always go back and forth looking at Epics, because it's always like, oh my god, these are the same exact issues. Like Daredevil Masterworks number 7 with Stiltman on the cover, I guarantee you that's an Epic collection. And probably has like 150 more pages.
Ooh, I do want to read this. Daredevil Noir. This sounds cool. Alexander Irvin. Doesn't sound familiar. What year is that from? Doesn't say. Great. Good job, Comixology. Good job.
Welcome to Comixology.
Welcome to Comixology. Well, shit. I missed one book in the Charles Soule run, too. Mother Effers.
Mother Effer.
What is this? Daredevil battling Jack Murdock.
Have you ever read the Ed Brubaker run of Daredevil?
Where's my spreadsheet? Damn it, Nick.
Because you know who draws it, right?
No, it is not. I have not started it. Who draws it?
It is... I'll let you answer that question. He teams up with his Gotham Central artist.
Oh, shit. I don't even remember who drew that, bro.
Michael Lark.
Oh, okay. Oh, shit.
Uh-huh.
Is Michael Lark is still working?
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah, he's drawing Rucka's Image title.
Well, butt fucks.
Yeah. But just saying, you want some pretty pictures to go along with that story? Ooh, lordy.
Does he do the whole run?
Yeah.
Well, shit.
Just saying.
All right. I'm going to look it up the backwards way through Michael Lark. Because otherwise, if I do Brubaker, that shit will take forever. And if I do Daredevil, sure. I will never find it. Okay, yep, got it. Well then.
Yeah, sadly it is the, they're not all collected in like an omnibus.
Mm-hmm.
So you have, God, six trades, five trades, but at least they're all on sale. And it is all Lark. Ooh, and it's so good. Because the greatest thing is when Bendis, spoiler alert for a title that's 25 years old, 20 years old,
mm-hmm.
when Bendis, I mean, him and Brubaker, very good friends. So when Brubaker was going to come on and Bendis was ending, Bendis wanted to put Daredevil, Matt Murdock, in the worst position possible
mm-hmm.
for his buddy, Brubaker, to pick up the baton and move forward. And that was to send Daredevil to jail.
Uh-huh.
So then Brubaker has that like conundrum puzzle of like, well, how do I get him out of this? Like,
yeah.
Most creators start you off like, oh, I just reversed everything. Now everything's back to square one, status quo.
Yep.
But it's so good. And Lark is just killing it. Killing it!
Hmm.
Yeah.
You know what I really liked is, I think it was in Charles. Yeah, it was in Charles Soule's run.
Tell me.
When he does the Purple Children.
I don't even know about this. What?
The Purple Man's Kids.
No, I don't know anything about
okay. Well, never mind. I'll quit talking.
No, tell me, because I want to buy them.
No, I can't, because there's some twists in that story.
I don't mind twists. You know I don't mind when stuff gets spoiled for me.
Nope.
Damn it. Come on.
If you're going to read it, you need to read it.
Rat's ass. But it's not even my spotlighted character.
Well, you know, you said you wanted to read Daredevil Charles Soule, so...
I do. And the last issue of Charles Soule run has Phil Noto doing art? Oh, mamma mia. Sign me up.
Who Damn is it. The artist here? Ah, it's old Joe Q.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I was just looking at the Marvel Knights trades.
Yeah.
Do you remember, that brings up a conversation, when Marvel was in the shitter and they brought in Joe Q and Jimmy P to launch Marvel Knights as like Elseworlds kind of stories.
Hell yeah.
And everyone was like, this shit is awesome. Fuck Marvel, but Marvel Knights rocks. And then Marvel redid their whole universe to be basically Marvel Knights.
Yeah, I do.
God, that's so cool.
Where, who was it? The Punisher became all mystical?
Hell yeah. Oh, I want to reread that.
Yeah, why wouldn't you? And then all of a sudden, what spun out of that was the NS Steve Dillon.
Punisher.
Oh, those are so good, dude.
Where is it?
You really are sending me down a damn rabbit hole right now. Damn you. Why both of us are spending money.
Man, tonight. This. All right, let me say this. Comixology has some great sales. This is not a great sale.
What?
Punisher Max Complete Collection for $25.
Oh, no. You wait for $5.99 on that, Pally.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Oh, but it's on Unlimited. Ha ha. Just kidding. Oh. Borrow.
Hell yeah.
Okay, good. It's in my collection now.
How far back with Daredevil have you read? I mean, are you reading like Stan Lee, Gene Colan?
No, stuff? Not yet. That's why I wanted to go back to the Innocenti stuff. No, I've only gotten back to Mark Waid.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
The first run.
You got a lot to look forward to then.
Yeah. Dude, like if If all, I mean, this is my only spotlight character this year.
Sure.
And there's literally hundreds of books I could be reading. So, I mean, I could read just Daredevil all year. But you know I can't do that.
No.
So, yeah, no, I'll skip this volume of Mark Waid's run so I could just get through his run. Because the San Francisco stuff, I hate it.
Yeah, you don't need to continue with that.
It's just boring. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
It's boring. I want to see some Daredevil. Right. Like Matt Murdock is cool, but like I'm not here for Matt. I'm here for Daredevil.
Gotcha.
So I want more of that. But once I'm done with the Wade, I'm gonna go to Innocenti.
Just to go back to my Epic Collection thing.
Hmm.
Daredevil Masterworks Volume 6 mm-hmm. is 54 to 63, $5.99.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
There's an Epic Collection. Let me see. I don't want to mess this up. There's an Epic Collection that is 42 to 63 for two extra dollars.
Mm.
So 11 extra issues.
Yeah, that's a good deal.
I know. That's why, you know, you really have to look. And I get, like, I mean, that goes back to my Batman thing. Like, once you start down the road with Masterworks, do you want to have Masterworks Volume 7, then you jump to Volume 10 because you own an Epic Collection? Eh. But, I mean, you are saving a lot of money there.
Mm-hmm. Nope, I gotcha. All right, so I will look at this instead.
Still on the cover. Oh, God. Damn it! Martin, why are we looking at this stuff?
Well, why not? That's what I say. Why not look at this stuff, Nick?
Dang it.
What else do we have to do? Go to work? Pfft. Boring.
Well, we ain't doing that tomorrow.
That's true. Tomorrow I'm doing chores.
There you go.
Yes, I might die tomorrow. Tomorrow's my electrician day.
Oh, yeah. Your $300 worth of fix-its.
Outlets and my $100 worth of outdoor outlet covers came in. Jeez. and my kitchen light came in.
Wow.
Yes. Apparently I also need to replace Zoe's light switch because I put a smart light switch in there and for some reason it keeps losing Wi-Fi connection and will not work without Wi-Fi.
Yeah, my Philips Hue's doing the same darn thing upstairs.
Mm.
I can tell Alexa to turn it on, but I can't do it from the actual app itself.
Oh, she wants you to play something.
I know. Oh, she sucks. I was on a business call this week, and I was... Oh, my Lord. Alexa, stop. I was on a business call this week and I was listing off like these JIRA ticket numbers that I completed. And all of a sudden our Siri kicked in and started to add up, heard all of the numbers and started to recite all the numbers and adding them all up. I was like, oh my God.
That's awesome.
And of course I'm talking, so I can't put it on mute. And then like, you know, hey Siri, stop.
That's hilarious.
Google! Stop!
That's hilarious.
Oh, it's the worst.
I unplugged mine from my office.
I think I'm going to be spending all my monies now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. Including picking up some Conan, of course.
Yeah, I was just looking at Conan 2099. I might need to have that. Just because. Really?
I didn't even know they did a Conan 2099.
Yeah, it was last year they brought back the 2099 stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah, I was looking at that, and then Doom 2099 is by Chip, so I might get that too.
Ooh, that'd be good.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm looking at that Jason Aaron Conan.
Oh yeah, that's good. You should read that.
I know, I am.
He does Conan great.
Yeah, I did. I read the first issue.
Yeah, it's really good.
Have you ever read the Savage Sword of Conan?
Is that the what's his face? Oh, shit, what's his name? Together did Weapon X. Oh man, someone is yelling at me.
Jerry Dugan?
No, the artist. Oh my god.
Weapon X.
Yeah, remember that when they did the origin story of Weapon X? God, what was his name?
Barry Windsor-Smith?
Yes. Didn't he do Savage Sword of Conan? Or is that a new book?
I'm talking the new one.
Oh, no, I have not read that.
Okay.
I have not read that. I also have not read the current Avengers that has Conan in it.
Oh, yeah. No, I haven't read that either.
Yeah, because, you know, now that Marvel owns Conan, they have to put him everywhere.
Of course. Him and Wolverine are going to be teaming up.
Yeah. I'm sure that's next. And yeah, Deadpool.
For sure. And it'll just be Feral Sword of Conan?
The Feral Sword of Conan. It'll be Conan, Wolverine, Deadpool, Spider-Gwen, and what's the other pool? Gwenpool. There you go. It's the new Uncanny X-Force. All new, all different Uncanny X-Force.
There you go. Like it. I'd read that.
Man, oh man. I only have one more thing, man. Go ahead. I wanted to shout out a friend of the show, Andrew Shaw, because he directed me to watch this flick called Cosmos, and I really enjoyed it. And we were going back and forth on DM today because he knew more about this movie. I don't know where the movie's from. I thought it was Australian at first, but I don't think so. I think it might be a British flick. But who knows? Maybe it is Australian because Andrew is Australian. It is called Cosmos, and apparently this movie was made for $7,000, Nick.
Oh, my God.
Okay, the budget for this movie is $7,000.
Wow.
And I mean, let me say this. It is obviously an indie movie.
Sure.
99% of the movie has three characters in a car.
Wow. Okay.
And then in the last 5 minutes, you see a fourth character. and the budget, like I told Andrew, he's like, yeah, but he's like, especially considering the budget was $7,000. And I was like, $7,000? I said $4,000 of that must have been the special effects of the last 30 seconds of the movie.
Oh, jeez.
And literally that's a picture of three satellite dishes and and like a star in the sky.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, so Cosmos. So there is an underlying story where like this guy was working and he developed a satellite, which they don't really explain what the satellite does, but developed a satellite for this company. And then the company got acquired. They fired the whole team because they wanted to be like, hey, we made this thing. So they fired the whole team that created it and just like released it with their name. And like this guy has been like down in the dumps for months, cause whatever. And they're also like amateur astronomers and like Kim and his buddy. And there's some like there's a lot of tension between him and his friend because he thinks his friend like sold him out because he stayed working for the company. They have the third guy going on this space watch in the woods that he hates because he thinks he's the guy that took over his job. Anyways, you learn the intricacies of the whole story as the movie progresses. And the way that's done is that they're out like stargazing, right, in the woods. The one guy is creating developing this technology where he can like detect radio signals in space, right? That one guy just wants to go on this like one last trip so he can like see his satellite that he created like flying in space. And the other guy just like wants to be with his friend basically. As all this goes on, like they basically detect like maybe an alien signal. Of course, this is about aliens because Andrew and I were talking about it. and it turns out that like they're the first to detect the signal. Nobody else can detect the signal, so they're like, oh, it must be like directed exclusively at us. So they basically like create this array antenna array in the woods to get a bit of signal. And they discover a lot about it. Like, it's actually replying to their message that they're sending out. One of the replies is actually a reply to the Arecibo signal that was sent out in the 70s. That's basically an encoded image of Earth, right? So it shows, like basic biological chemistry on Earth, like what our DNA looks like, what we look like, and equipment that the signal's being sent out of. And they figure out, like, the reply is the same, but from the alien's point. So, like, some of the things are the same, but some are different, right? Like, the satellite's different. The shape of the being is different. Anyways, the movie I thought was really, really good. I don't even know what it's rated. Let's look this up right now. Let's go on IMDb, and I guarantee you, when I put Cosmos in here, it's going to give me that goddamn Neil deGrasse Tyson show.
you mean the Carl Sagan show?
No, the Neil deGrasse Tyson one that he redid a couple years ago.
Right, but it was Carl Sagan.
Well, the original one was Carl Sagan, yes. Okay. Nope, this is the TV show. See, I knew it! Okay, here we go. Cosmos. All right, so if you go on IMDb, this is rated 5.6 out of 10. Okay, mm-hmm. Not very high. Considering this movie was made for $7,000, automatically, based on what I saw, I would put it at like an 8.
Nice.
I thought actually it was much smarter than I thought it would be. You know, the acting's not great. I mean, if the movie was shot for $7,000, these guys probably got paid like $100. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
So don't expect like Oscar winning performance. But what I thought was really interesting actually is the science bit of the movie. And from my knowledge of the science of this, it was pretty accurate. So if you're into like cool space films, some alien stuff, like you never see aliens, by the way. You don't even see like ships or anything.
Because cost too much.
That would double the budget at least. Cool. But if you just want like a cool, like human story, it's got that. And then like a cool science story, man. Cosmos. It's very good. I enjoyed it a lot.
I like it.
I need to see where this was made. I don't want IMDb Pro. Fuck that. Who subscribes to IMDb Pro?
Oh, it's Pro. What are they going to tell you?
There's no way. Nobody in the world has IMDb Pro. Okay? I don't believe it.
Sign up for it. You'll be the first.
Okay, this is from the UK. So there we go. That's all I wanted to know.
Just like you did when you signed up for DC.
Yeah, there you go.
You were one of the first.
Yeah, and I got founding member. I got a free year.
Yeah.
And I don't even know how still.
So now go do that for IMDb Pro. They would love you.
Nah, F that. It'll be like CBS All Access. Two thumbs down. this movie is 2 hours long. Adam and I were talking that you probably could have cut out like 20, 30 minutes of the movie.
Sure.
Just to make it a little snappier. And they could have saved like $2,000 off of that on their budget. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, sure. Yeah, it's good. It came out in 2014.
Dang. Nice.
Is that right? Oh, no, 2019. Oh, it just came out. November 2019.
Nice.
Yeah, very good. Cosmos. Watch it. It is, he sent me a Tubi link, but it's also free on Amazon Prime Video.
Oh, very good.
My assumption is it's not free on Amazon Prime Video in Australia.
That would make sense.
Yep. Do you want to talk about this thing that you sent me? Because I didn't watch it. You know what I'm talking about?
No, I'm sorry, you broke up.
Oh, do you want to talk about this this thing that you sent me, this video you sent me?
Oh, no, we don't have to talk about it.
You sure?
Yeah, no, I'm good.
Okay, fine. Then we can save it then. We'll save it for the next one.
Sure. Yeah, put it on the back burner. Put it on the Google Doc.
Because I have thoughts.
Oh, well, if you want to share them, go ahead.
No, it's fine. If you don't want to talk about it, we don't have to talk about it.
All right, all right.
I did like it.
Did you? But we can talk about it. Right, we can talk about
let's,
it.
Let's spend a couple minutes about it. Let's spend a couple minutes on it.
For sure.
So you sent me a video for, let me get the name of this game correct, The Ghosts of Tsushima.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the new Sucker Punch developed game who did Sly Cooper, among other games.
So tell me why you sent me this video.
I like the setting. I liked the environment. It's like feudal Japan.
Mm-hmm.
I liked a lot of the folklore incorporated in it. It's sort of, I guess it's called state of play video. It's like 18 minutes long. He follows foxes to like special spiritual areas. I liked that some of the gameplay tweaks I thought was really clever. Like following like wind gusts to like undiscovered areas of the map. I thought that was real clever instead of having one gigantic arrow that points you right where to go.
Mm-hmm.
I thought some of the little dialogue was interesting. The music was beautiful. I like a game like Assassin's Creed and it definitely, every game that Assassin's Creed has done, I've always been like, why are you not doing feudal Japan? Why are you not doing feudal? So to get this game by Sucker Punch, I was pretty excited. And then they went through like some of the customizations, which also affect your character's upgrades. And do you want to be stealthy, put on this costume? But you could also, if you don't like the colors, you can redo, you know, you can customize the colors any way you want. So they're not locking you into looking a certain way. They just want you to use certain things to like benefit your play style.
Mm-hmm.
I did like, and I don't know how far you watched it, if you watched it all the way.
I watched about half of it. It's a pretty long video.
Yeah, it's 18 minutes.
Yeah.
And the last, and it's in my timeline. If any listener wants to go look it up, I tweeted it out. But the last half, that was when they were talking about the customization to your playstyle, as well as they're huge, and you could sort of tell this by their gameplay, they're huge fans of like samurai films.
Mm-hmm.
So they incorporated in that at the very beginning, before even you start playing, you can play it with Japanese voice acting, as well as you could turn on a black and white grain filter. Mm-hmm. That will make it look like pretty much like a Kurosawa film.
Yeah.
And I was really impressed. I mean, Sucker Punch, they know detail really well. And how they approach games is very different than a lot of companies.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really looking forward to getting this game and just being engrossed in. It looked like pretty open, as well as open gameplay, as well as a very large area. When they pulled out the map a couple times at the beginning, I was like, Jesus, that's looks gigantic, even though you're on horseback.
Mm-hmm.
It just really, it was very compelling. And the music for me, you know how music can affect me. The soundtrack throughout the entire thing was just the high points. The music got very loud and very actiony, but then during the low quiet moments, good God, did they use like perfect instrumentation with it.
Yeah.
So I am so looking forward to it. It comes out
July.
Next month. Yeah. July.
Yep.
I'm so excited for it.
So I will say this. I only watched about half the video. I think I got through the combat section.
Did you watch it with the ghost?
Ghost. I don't remember the ghost.
Yeah, did you see that combat part?
A ghost.
Because that's the whole, I think that's the title of it. Like the first part of the action sequence was
you're going into a village and it's just like a samurai film that you're challenging the first person that's walking towards you.
Oh yeah,
and
right.
It's a big melee thing. Well, the next thing is they're talking about, or you can approach it like your ghost. And then that part, they went into the same area and you're uber stealthy with it. Throwing poison darts, throwing firecrackers down on the ground to attract people so that you can go around them and, you know, stabby stabby.
So, when I first started watching this video, my initial impression, I'm not going to lie, Nick, was, this looks an awful lot like Zelda.
Oh, yeah. Are you saying that they're going to have gigantic dragons in Ghosts of Tsushima?
I mean, that would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. But when they start going through the gameplay, it looks a lot like the Wii Zelda, whatever the last one was. Even like, especially when he got on the horse, I was like, oh my god, this is like fucking Zelda.
Yeah, when he whistles for the horse.
Yeah. Which, yeah. That's not a knock.
No.
Because that game is awesome.
Right.
But I was like, man, I hope like there's something different about it. But I really got engrossed in the graphics of it, because even though it does have a lot of nods to that Zelda game, I would say it's beautiful.
Yeah,
it is really pretty.
But even back to your sighting,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know this to be true because nowhere in the 18 minutes did I see any of it. But if it was up to me, I would want to have traditional Japanese mythology mm-hmm. and ghosts. Like, when I heard ghosts, I was thinking, oh my god, are they going to go into, like, the mysticism? Mm. Like, the Eastern mysticism? Ooh, yep. I just want everything to revolve around ghost stories and the supernatural. I don't want it to be scary, but I wouldn't mind if I battle a dragon.
Yep.
Like, yeah. That sounds great to me.
That would be awesome. I as much as I want that, I didn't get that feeling from this.
I know, sadly. I think it's going to be like they have watched Kurosawa samurai films mm-hmm. over and over and over.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Like, listen.
It's great.
If you're Japanese, pay close attention. I don't want to knock us off the Japanese top charts here.
Right.
Even though we're not on the Japanese top charts. Shame on them. Yeah. I prefer a ninja game over a samurai game.
Ooh.
Okay.
Stealthy?
Bro, like one of the first games I remember playing nonstop was Shinobi.
Oh, that's a good game.
Okay. That's Shinobi, Ninja Gaiden.
Oh god, that's hard. That's a rough one.
Yes. Well, and Shinobi was not as bad until they brought Shinobi, what was it, on the PS1, I think? They remade it, and that game was hard. Maybe it was PS2. It might not have been PS1. Anyways,
not Shinobi was hard. Not the side-scroll.
Yes.
Three.
It was more like Devil May Cry with ninjas.
Yeah.
But, dude, like, Ninja Gaiden, like, that was my jam.
Yeah, that was a hard as hell one.
Look, I was a freaking shuriken throwing motherfucker back then. It was like nonstop ninja stars. Bah, 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 bah.
Sure.
I'm partial to ninja games. However, there are certain samurai games that I really enjoy. Like, what's that series called? Oh god, the one where you like reenact historical battles.
Civ?
No, not Civ. It's like Civ, but war.
Age of Empires?
Nope. Oh my god. The first one was actually based on Japanese history. Shogun Wars? Shogun Warriors? Nope. It's not Shogun Warriors. War Simulator. Let's try that. Because I will find the name of this game. Nope, can't find it now. Anyways, they're still making them. They still make these. basically you're like reenacting historical battles.
Sure.
Except, you know, the outcome might be different because you're controlling.
So what are you saying? You had a war of ninjas? Is that what you're talking about?
No, but in that your game, love of ninjas? You're controlling like armies of samurai.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Anyway, it was awesome. It was like SimCity, but war.
Crazy.
Yeah, it was awesome. Oh, God, what was it called? I'm going to find it afterwards, too. Like they've got one with like the Roman Empire. There's all kinds of different ones that they've done.
I thought when you were talking about your love of ninja games, I thought you were going to reference Tenchu.
No, I never played Tenchu. I will say one of the best ninja games is fairly recent, probably in the last 5 years or so. Mark of the Ninja, really freaking good.
Hell yeah, that's a really good game. Yeah,
Mark of the Ninja is awesome.
Yes.
So anyways, but I really like this, and I'm with you, dude. I think like the shogunate period of Japan is like super fascinating.
Yeah, it's really rich.
Yeah, it's super fascinating. I think just like Japanese culture in general is really interesting because it's set up so different than Western culture.
Yep.
Maybe not as much now, right, as they become more anglicized. But definitely during that period, whatever it be, like 1300s to the 1800s, really, really fascinating. Especially considering, like, Japan is not a lot of land. You know what I mean? It's just, like, a bunch of islands.
Right.
And just, like, the amount of, like, empires and kingdoms that were in Japan throughout history is really interesting. And I just love the culture. Because there's so much like respect for like people of authority and people that are like older than you. I don't know. It's really fascinating. And if they play a lot on that, then I think this would be really cool. I'm with you. I would have loved to see more mythology stuff.
Yeah.
Even though we're not going to see it.
No.
I don't know if you ever played Okami. Okami is one of my favorite games of all time.
That's like PS2, right?
Maybe?
It's like with ghosts.
So Okami was the one where you're the fox god. You're the two-tailed fox.
Right.
And you can like do stuff with the tails.
Mm-hmm.
It was really cool. You had like different powers and stuff based on like how you worked your tail. I don't know. I don't remember. But
I will say about this trailer, I did like hearing them talk about during different combat sequences, you can change your stance, and that will give you a whole different like combat set.
Yep,
which is interesting. And I know fighting games, Mortal Kombat games, have been doing that for years. Yep. So
yeah, a lot of fighting games have been doing that. What concerns now? I will say this: the developer is fantastic, right? So I have high hopes. My concern with a game like this is that it looks awesome on paper. But then when you start playing it, it's not quite there.
And I'm not worried about that. I'm more worried about how westernized is this going to be.
Mm. Oh, that's maybe. That's
what I'm more worried about.
Well, you know, if they're so big into Kurosawa, then maybe not something Let's to worry
hope.
About.
I hope.
Right.
Even though the film grain looked great after seeing how pretty and muted those colors were, it would be real hard to slap on a black and white film grain.
Mm-hmm.
Play it that way. But I will say, after hearing the Japanese voice acting, there's no way in hell I'm not going to have that on with subtitles. It sounded so good. Oh my gosh. It just sounded right.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? Like, there's something about Japan, dude.
I know.
Like, even just listening to the like natives speak the language, especially like in... You know how, like, in the 50s in the U.S., we had, like, we were talking about this recently. There was that, like, the way that newscasters spoke.
Yeah.
Right? It's, like, standard Midwestern English. I can't remember what the exact title is. But, like,
no one had an accent.
Yeah, nobody talked that way, but, like, everybody on TV talked that way.
Right. There's a weird cadence.
Yes, yes. And it almost feels like the same thing when you watch like a samurai flick, where it feels everything they say just like has moxie behind it, right? Like, I'm sure people didn't actually speak that way, but it's just so cool to hear it. And I think playing an experience like that could be really interesting.
I was so bummed out when Microsoft had their event 2 weeks ago to announce new games for the new system.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all second-party games, third-party games. And when I heard, oh, there's going to be a new Assassin's Creed, how exciting. And then when I heard the title of it before ever seeing anything, granted, I'm still excited for it because I do like the time period they chose. But when I heard Valhalla, I'm like, mother effer. How many shows are about Vikings at this point? Or Thor? Or, you know, it's just like, Jiminy Christmas. I mean, hasn't this been cherry-picked? Like I said, not that I'm not excited that I'm going to have this kick-ass axe and be swinging it around. Sign me up. But still, it's like, God, there's so many other rich parts of history that you could have went into.
Listen. Vikings are still important, bro.
They are, but I mean, guess what? How many, like, there's a Viking show on Stars. There's a Viking shows on History. There's Thor all over the place. Like, there is so much fucking Vikings out there.
So I read an article today, in fact.
But I hate to say it, before any of this, there was Assassin's Creed Black Sail.
Yeah, that was good.
Which was the first game that introduced sailing.
Yep.
Piloting a ship. So it totally makes sense. Why wouldn't they do that again? Vikings totally make sense to do boats. So, okay. Like, I completely understand that.
Yep.
So maybe they had this plan 10 years before any of this other stuff started to happen. Could be. Sure.
This is vaguely tangential. Actually, very tangential. But I read an article. There's a species of dogs that the Inca raised. And Inca royalty actually, when they died, they mummified and buried their dogs with them.
Would kill the dog?
I guess.
Yeah, of course. That's exactly what you're saying.
You can't mummify it if it's not dead.
Right. The assistant's like, I guess I gotta kill Rover.
But anyway, so the breed of dogs the Inca had is apparently closely genetically related to the Bunso sheepdogs of Denmark.
Weird.
And there's this there's a story from the Andes about this King Ipir or something like that, who's like blonde with a long beard. Anyway, that's a whole different tangent. We can talk about some other time. But apparently there are Vikings in South America at some point.
Wow, it's so weird that a sailing culture would go into another culture and be like, hey, you're pretty good looking.
Yeah.
Why am I living in 12 foot of snow and ice?
Right.
Oh, this is like the tropics. Look at this. Paradise. This is beautiful.
All the ladies walk around bare boobed.
That's like being a British person and coming over to the US in the 80s and 90s. It's like everybody was like, oh, you have an accent. How mysterious. It's like, he just has an accent. Ladies, come on.
Ghost of Tsushima. Yeah, it looks great.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that they're doing such a big game like this when the PS4 is kind of EOL, but you know.
You read my mind.
Yeah.
Because at this point, I mean, you know I'm a console guy. Mm-hmm. At this point, I'm leaning more towards Microsoft at this point.
Yeah.
Just because of how often they support online as well as their creators and their online offering seems to be a lot more beneficial to somebody like me. I don't want to own every game. Yeah. I just want to play a lot of games. So if I don't have to buy them, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
And their online service sort of provides that, where when Sony does exclusives, their exclusives are so good. and I would have thought, this being an exclusive, why wouldn't you just push it to PS4?
Right? That was my thing. Just make this a launch title.
Yeah. that it would be such a stellar launch title. Yep.
And you know, I'm sure they've been working on this game for like 5 years, right?
Oh, for sure. I heard about it like 3 years ago.
Yeah, so what's another year? Like, how hard could it be to port to PS5?
No doubt. Why even put it out?
Yeah.
But, it's just like that, what is it, Cyberpunk 2099?
Yeah. The Keanu Reeves game.
Yeah. Like that, why you keep pushing it back. Why not just make that a launch title?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Crazy.
But it looks pretty. I wish I had a PS4 to play it. If they bring it to the Master Race, then I will definitely buy it.
The soundtrack is just so pretty.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But I am happy, because guess what I have? I have a PS4.
I know.
Which is very nice. So even if when the next gen systems come out and I decide to jump over to Microsoft, I can still play that one.
Mm-hmm.
Now the next Spider-Man game, if that goes Sony exclusive like the last one, I'm screwed.
Yeah.
What can you do? Cross that bridge when you come to it.
Are you going to get a new console when they come out?
Not right when they come out. I'll probably wait.
Yeah, a few months. Years. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's usually what I've always done. Just wait a couple years till they do at least a first price cut.
Yeah, or do a Black Friday.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Because then by then you have more games anyway. You know what I mean? Usually at launch you only have a handful.
Yeah, I think I waited for a big bundle for the PS4. And then all of a sudden I had three games that were all stellar. Ready to go?
Yep. Very good. Man, this podcast is approaching Geek Brunch podcast length lately. What's happening?
Well, at least half of their time.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. We also don't start recording at 7 in the morning.
That's very true. We record late, so now it's like we're both going to get off and like, let's go read. And then it'll be like, nah, let's just go to bed.
Man, I'm thinking about it too.
Oh, I'm just happy you don't have to go into work tomorrow.
Yep, that's true.
That's good. Good for you.
I guess.
Good for you. I just hope you buy some Daredevil.
Yes, I just need to see. I might actually buy some of those epics.
Yeah.
Oh, hello, my friend. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
They're good.
Yes, very good. If you're into some of the other weird stuff that I talk about sometimes, go check out my friend's podcast. It's awesome. Mike and Maurice's Mind Escape. Not a sponsor, but they're great. And I just helped them with his website, and it looks birdie.
Nice.
Yes. And also check out my other show, The Alchemical Mind, if you want to. You don't have to. But it's cool. It's fun. I got to tell you, I've been doing this podcast. We've been doing this how long now, Nick? 5 years? Almost 5 years.
Sounds right.
Matter of fact, I think it's 5 years in like a month and a half or two.
Oh.
I have never gotten as many DMs as I have with my new podcast.
Nice. So
that's fun. Actually, it's not fun because I'm like, I don't want to answer DMs right now. But yeah, nice. Go check that out. Available wherever you can find stuff.
I like it.
Let's see. What I have? 5 episodes in. I got another one coming the day this drops. And then there'll be another 2 episodes this coming week as well. That's it. Find Nick at Nick Wetmore on the Twitter machine. I'm at Geekvine. You can find the show at Nerdy Legion. And I don't know. We need a new snappy catchphrase for the end. I'm tired of using the same one over and over again. See you next time. Bye-bye.